Hogan Johns.
The ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl.
That's on us. You know, we made this.
That's what we're striving for, perfection.
So, guys, it's a disappointing season. Very frustrating.
You can't run the ball, you can't throw the ball, you can't catch the ball, you can't run the right routes, and you can't block it.
Given the expectations that we had, I think that everyone had, our fans had.
I agree with our guy here, Hoagie Cat. Obviously, they're going to the Super Bowl, but I don't know where they're losing three games.
So to go 8-8 after making the playoffs the year before, it was unacceptable.
How the hell are you supposed to do anything offensively when all that happens?
Yes. I'm hopeful that we'll straighten it out and the guys will return to the level of play that they had in 18.
WGN Radio presents Hoagie Johns.
I think you heard it from Ryan and Matt. I have all the confidence in the world in both of them. They're the reason that we had a 12-4 year in 2018, and we regressed in a whole lot of areas.
Trubisky to the end zone, and it's going to be picked off. It's Adrian Amos who comes back to haunt his old team.
With WGN Radio's Adam Ho, and from The Athletic, Adam Johns.
I think we should be able to turn it around next year. I mean, we were 12-4 just a year ago. We had the coach of the year, the executive of the year. They haven't lost their abilities, and we haven't lost the talent level. We just got to be able to maximize it better this coming season.
Here they are, the Adams.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Hoagie Johns.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. What a gorgeous Super Bowl Sunday it is in
it's
Chicago.
It's like we're in Miami.
I brought the sun back with me, Johnsy.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
I know you.
It's going to leave tomorrow, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We'll send them again.
And everybody gets sick.
We'll see it in May. That's fine. Welcome in. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I'm excited to be here. My name's Adam Hoge. He's Adam Johns. For those of you that don't know who we are, we host the Hoagie Johns podcast. We've been doing so for the last five Chicago Bears seasons on WGNRadio.com, and we expanded to The Athletic at TheAthletic.com, which is where Adam Johns spends his full-time work.
They pay the bills.
That's right. You can always find Adam Johns there on The Athletic. He does great work, as does their entire team over there. And if you're not a subscriber, we might as well plug it. TheAthletic.com/Hoge and Johns. You go there, you get 40% off the subscription. And I tell you, it's worth every single penny. But we're here today because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and getting the opportunity to break this all down for you for the next 4 hours. Got a ton of guests to bring you. I was in Miami earlier this week, had a bunch of conversations. We'll bring back a lot of those to you, including former Bears kicker Robbie Gould, could possibly win his first Super Bowl ring later on tonight.
He played in the last Super Bowl in Miami.
He did.
For the Chicago Bears.
And we discussed some of that, so you'll hear him actually coming up here very shortly. Then I had a lengthy conversation with Kyle Long, who recently retired. And I know our podcast listeners got a chance to hear some of that, but we're going to play it in full today for you, too, in case you missed it earlier in the week. Sam Ponder from ESPN. You know her from the NFL Countdown show. She does a great job. We're going to talk to her a little bit later on in the show, as well as Patrick Mahomes' agent, Lee Steinberg, who, of course, the best thing about Lee Steinberg is that the movie Jerry Maguire is based off
about him, yeah.
That's the guy.
Show me the money. That's the guy.
And now, all these years later, he happens to be Patrick Mahomes' agent. And talk about a career resurgence
he
for him.
He should call the Chiefs in like a week and say, show me the money.
Exactly.
I'm not lying. He literally should do that. Best quarterback in the game.
I'm guessing he probably already has. And that is a storyline this offseason, which is, the amount of money that Patrick Mahomes is going to get from the Kansas City Chiefs. And that would be hilarious if he just called up and said,
it's all he has to do. Yeah.
Show me the money.
Especially if they win.
And they should probably do that. Well, we're here. You can call in. Our listeners are used to this being a podcast. We have a voicemail line for them that we allow them to call in on. But this is your opportunity to call us live throughout the show, 312-981-7200. And we also realize that we have a ton of new listeners that probably aren't used to listening to our podcast. So hopefully you enjoy what you hear today. And you can find that on WGNRadio.com. Wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, go find it. Hoge and Johns, it's spelled H-O-G-E, and his name is J-A-H-N-S. And go hit that subscribe button. You can hear more of us throughout the offseason, too. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. We're here to talk about this game. A lot of hype over 2 weeks, 49ers, Chiefs. Adam Johns, what are you most excited about for today?
Well, for starters, I'm one of the people who believe that this day should be kind of a national holiday. Just think about it. Everyone's gathering with family and friends. The food is going to be fantastic. The drinks will be overserved, I should say. And everybody's going to be a bit slower tomorrow. It's like the day after Christmas. It's like the day after New Year's. You want to relax. The Super Bowl provides that. On the field, I want to see a great defense against one of the best young quarterbacks we've ever seen. But this day, I love this day.
So are you among those that think tomorrow should actually be
an off
holiday?
How many people are going to call off? How many people already took the day off?
I think a lot.
Yes. Especially in Kansas City. Especially in San Francisco, the Bay Area.
Yeah. I'm not like qualified to have that discussion because to me, I got to get up and work in the morning.
Yeah.
Because
it's our business.
I cover football.
Yes.
But, you know, for a lot of our listeners right now that are driving around on this beautiful day in Chicago, that's, you know, they're probably on their way to a Super Bowl party, and they would usually be waking up tomorrow morning to go to work, and then their job might not have anything to do with football, probably doesn't, and I could totally understand why.
So what time is the game going to end here? 10 o'clock?
No, it
10:30,
should be like
9:30. 9:30. No, it's usually around 9:30. It's longer than usual.
Well, it is, but that's still 3.5 hours. So, I don't know, 9:30.
Yes. But these Super Bowl parties start early, my friend.
Oh, I know. They probably have already begun. I'm excited to just see Patrick Mahomes on this stage. And a common theme this week in conversations I had with people, including his agent, is just how, to me, the most impressive thing about Patrick Mahomes is from day one when he came in and he had to sit out almost all that first season. He comes in week 17. It was a meaningless game for the Chiefs, who were already in the playoffs and had a bye week. And no, they didn't have a bye week that year. They lost on that Saturday night to the Titans. But they had a playoff game the following week, and their week 17 game didn't matter. In Denver against the Broncos, he comes out there. They sit Alex Smith, and from that moment on, this dude just has never flinched.
No.
He's had some games that...
He had a serious injury to get through.
Yeah, he went through battle through an injury this year. He's had some games like any other player where his play dips a little bit. But to this day, he has never really had a disastrous football game. He really has not. And there's no reason to really believe that today he'll all of a sudden have one of those.
For me, especially being a Chicagoan, there is a lot of Chicago-like storylines. Mm. Well, you mentioned Robbie Gould already, the former Chicago Bears kicker. He kicks for the 49ers now. Everybody knows how it ended quite poorly for him here in Chicago. Probably should still be kicking here in Chicago. Then you had Cody Park, Eddie Pinero. I won't get into that. But then you have Jimmy Garoppolo. He's from Rolling Meadows High School. You have Lakin Tomlinson, the starting guard for the 49ers. He's from Lane Tech High School. There's a lot of Chicago connections in this football game.
Yeah, there absolutely are. And let's see, we got to take a time out here, but should we take a quick phone call? No, we'll take a break, then we'll get to some phone calls here. And I want to hear from Robbie Gould coming up here next on his experience of playing in this game today. And I think a lot of Chicagoans would be happy to see Robbie Gould win his first Super Bowl ring. So we'll take a time out, come back, get your calls, hear from Robbie Gould. You're listening to Hogan Johns, 720 WGN. All right, keeping things here rolling on Hogan Johns. We get you ready for the Super Bowl and want to take some of your phone calls as we're discussing Super Bowl Sunday here, how you guys are celebrating your Sunday in Chicago. Time now to bring in Tom from Bartlett. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. You know, you segue right into the possibility of changing the Super Bowl to Saturday. What do you think? There's a young kid that's got a petition going, and he's got lots and lots of signatures.
I like...
Lost production is just gigantic on Monday.
Yeah, I think a lot of owners and executives are learning that. I like the idea, but the ring of Super Bowl Saturday, when the entire NFL season is played mainly on Sundays, just seems very unnatural to me.
Yeah, I think that the complications that the league would have in doing that would probably outweigh the people that might have to go into work a little hungover tomorrow. You know, so it's, I don't think I really like it. Like, think about everything that just happened yesterday, too. You have the Hall of Fame announcement, the players that get in the Hall of Fame, the NFL Honors, which has become a bigger and bigger event each and every year, I think, for the last 9 years. That's all become part of this process.
Yeah. Look, everybody focuses on Super Bowl Sunday, but it's really a Super Bowl week.
Yes.
It starts with media night. Even the day before media night, there's so many things going on. The teams arrive. There's a lot of hoopla over that. Then there's a lot of media availability. There's a lot of parties that are put on from like Rolling Stone to Maxim that play out during the week in these cities that host the Super Bowl. So it's a week-long process. And I think, yes, Saturday would feel unnatural and would throw a lot of that off for the organization side.
Speaking of media night, that was already like a week ago. That was Monday night at Marlins Park. Interesting stadium, by the way, to be in.
They redid it.
Oh, yeah, it's a brand new stadium.
Is it called Marlins Park?
Yeah, that's what it's called. I don't think it has a sponsor on it.
Who wants to sponsor the Marlins?
Just call it Marlins Park. Nice stadium. The roof comes off. I was kind of disappointed the roof was closed, to be honest. They could have had like an open media night down there. The weather was nice enough. Anyway, though, that was when I had a chance to talk to Robbie Gould, the Bears' former kicker, now current kicker for the San Francisco 49ers, who, remember a year ago at this time, we were all wondering, is there any chance that Robbie Gould could come back and be a Bear? He was not under contract. He was set to reach free agency, and ultimately, the 49ers decided to franchise tag him. And that went right down to the tag deadline, the negotiation period, and ultimately, he signed a long-term.
I think he had a trade demand somewhere in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
To get closer to home.
They played hardball this summer.
Robbie's not your typical kicker. Never has been.
No, he is definitely not. And of course, he was the kicker for the Bears 13 years ago already.
Wow.
When the Bears played the Colts down in Miami.
That was his second season in the NFL, I believe.
It was. First full season with the Bears.
Correct.
Because his first year, he came in, I believe, after week three when they needed a kicker. And it started off a long run with Robbie Gould and the Bears, but that Super Bowl has been elusive since that appearance 13 years ago. And part of our conversation down there in Miami earlier this week was the differences between that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 41 13 years ago, and this time around.
You know, our defense played really well pretty much all year. And then, you know, we ran the football a lot that year. We had one of the best offensive lines and had two really good running backs in Cedric Benson and Thomas Jones. And I actually went back and watched the Super Bowl special teams game because Dave Tobes on the other side, just to see how they called the game, what did he do, and see what we did. And, you know, it's funny because it was so long ago that the film's grainy. It's not HD like it is now, you know. But to go against him on the other side, for me, is going to be pretty special because the last time I played in this, he was coaching me. So I just hope he doesn't return the opening kickoff.
Robbie, last year we talked to you at the Super Bowl. You didn't really know what this year was going to look like. You didn't necessarily know where you were going to be. A lot of us were talking about you coming back to Chicago. You look back on it, can you kind of reflect on, okay, not only did you return San Francisco, you signed a contract, and now you're back at the Super Bowl, but playing in it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a very special year for me. You know, I love the city of Chicago. I always will. That love that I have for the city and for the Bear organization is never going to go away. I mean, I said it when I got cut, once a Bear, always a Bear. I truly mean that. I played 11 years there. I'm the all-time leading scorer. I have, I think, most of the field goal kicking records there. And, you know, there's a spot in my heart that my kids will learn bear down and all that when the time's right. And for me now, you know, when I got back, I was happy to be back because I know how special this group of guys is and what we've endured over the last few years. And I think the biggest part about it is just enjoying the moment and the ride of being back in a Super Bowl. And, you know, like I said, you never know when it's going to be or how it's going to end or what it's going to look like. And, you know, this is year 15, you know, to be able to play 15 years in the National Football League and be in two Super Bowls, unless you're a New England Patriot, that's kind of uncommon, you know.
Obviously, they tagged you, but when it came down to it, why did you feel comfortable coming back and signing a contract too with them?
Well, there's a lot of layers to contracts, obviously, you know. I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, and I told them this from the very beginning, if the deal is right and it makes sense for both sides, then I'd be more than happy to come back and be a San Francisco 49er. You know, obviously those conversations didn't really happen until the deadline, and that's usually when things heat up. I was actually in Tahoe when it happened. And, you know, I've enjoyed my time in San Francisco. I really enjoy playing for the organization. I think the York family is first class all the way around. I think they've done some amazing things as owners to give back in the community, give guys the resources they need to be and excel at a high level. And that's a big part of why we're here. And, you know, it's something that the faithful, you know, they're very similar to the Bear fans. You know, they're diehards. They want a winner. And for me, it's fun to go out there on Sundays and compete in front of them. And like I said, you know, I love the city of Chicago, and that's not going to go away anytime soon.
Getting another chance in this game and knowing what your brother went through getting the ring, how meaningful would it to win on Sunday?
Well, the thing is I can't walk into my house, open up my Super Bowl ring with my banner and show him, because he already kind of one-upped me there. So I got to think of a unique way to show him the ring if we win.
And Robbie's brother, Chris, is the assistant special teams coach in Denver, won Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos. He's still there with the Broncos. So chance for Robbie Gould to tie his brother with the Super Bowl ring.
Maybe with the game-winning kick?
Maybe. It's a possibility. Anything kind of stick out to you there with Robbie Gould? I love that he went back and watched Super Bowl 41.
Yes.
Like he didn't just watch the game to reminisce. He was actually studying the special teams tape to figure out what Dave Tobe's the other side of this. Was the Bears special teams coordinator back then. Now he's the Chiefs special teams coordinator. So they're going head to head. They know each other very well. And Gould's sitting there during the week off that they have. It's not a full week off, but you know what I mean, the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, studying Dave Tobe's special teams.
Well, think of the buzz going into that Super Bowl game between the Colts and the Bears. Would the Colts kick Devin Hester? Tony Dungy had doubts. One of the weaknesses of that Colts team was their special teams coverage units, and they did it. Tony Dungy took a risk and kicked the ball to Devin Hester, and he returned the opening kickoff. So you know, with Robbie's relationship with Dave Tobe, that he's thinking the same, that there's going to be something drawn up, and it's on his kick and his placement of his kick. He's got to put some power, maybe put it through the end zone. Nobody wants their opening kickoff return for a touchdown against them. Who are they going to have back there, Mecole Hardman?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because Tyreek Hill's a little banged up, but should be good to go. I just don't know if you want to risk him on special teams. But Mecole Hardman, they're a talented rookie out of Georgia who's really just as fast as Tyreek Hill, which is unbelievable. He can do some damage, too. So that's certainly a big part of this game today. And then from our Chicago perspective, it's just kind of fun to see these two guys go head-to-head. Tony Dungy said recently he was kind of joking, but I think it's one of those jokes that has an element of truth to it. He was asked about the extra week you have to prepare for the Super Bowl and what it could do to you as a coach. And he said, well, it convinced me to kick to Devin Hester.
Yeah. I think he's had another quote where he had like sleepless nights about it, just knowing he was the Bears' best threat, changes field position, all that stuff. That was an electric moment, man. I know exactly where I was when Devin Hester, I was in the basement of Lottie's Bar up on the north side when Devin Hester returned that opening kickoff. I think a lot of Bears fans remember where they were when that kickoff was returned.
Yeah, and as I told Dave Tobe this week, I mean, that is up there as the top five Chicago moments.
Well, since 1985, yes.
Well, I'm just saying in terms of, like, you know, moments where you were when they happened. Like, Cubs winning the World Series is obviously one. Paul Konerko's Grand Slam in the World Series is probably another. And then that, you know,
well, sadly, I actually remember where I was when your White Sox won the World Series.
Well, see, but that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, the Bears lose that game, but that opening kickoff is one of the best that ever happened. And for Dave Tobe, his response to me was, "Is the best moment of my life." Pause. Coaching.
It's when he thinks of his family.
Yeah,
you
got to catch yourself
wife,
there.
Kids, yes. Well done. Well played, Dave Tobe.
Yeah, you got to catch yourself there in the moment. All right, so there's the kind of the special teams angle, which from a Chicago perspective is something that we're going to be watching very closely today as the 49ers take on the Chiefs in Miami. When we come back, there was some Bears news this week. There was a free agent signing that is definitely worth talking about. And there was a surgery that we also need to discuss as well. We'll do all that when we come back. Hogan Johns on 720 WGN. So there was a big signing the Chicago Bears made this week. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you, 720 WGN, getting ready for Super Bowl 54. And we need to discuss this because we didn't discuss it during the week on our podcast, Johnsy. The Bears signed Trey Roberson, a cornerback who, if the name rings a bell locally, that's because he was quarterback for Illinois State a few years ago and had some success there. First of all, he started at Indiana, transfers, and Illinois State made it all the way to the championship game.
Was he a teammate of Cam Meredith's, I believe? Cam Meredith, the former Bears receiver?
I believe so.
Quarterback turned receiver.
And I want to say if the years match up, they lost to Carson Wentz.
I think you're right.
And North Dakota State in the championship. So, and Trey Roberson was a very talented quarterback who could make plenty of plays with his legs and at that level with his arm too, but very undersized. So when he tries to get into the NFL, he goes undrafted and didn't really know where to play. So he gets a tryout with the Vikings. They sign him. They say, let's try a cornerback. So he's making a transition from quarterback to cornerback and was on the practice squad for a little bit, but ultimately got let go. He signs in the CFL, where it's almost like a second college career for him, but a whole career of him playing, you know, 3 years of him playing cornerback. And this past season had 7 interceptions, got enough notoriety that it was well known that he was going to sign with an NFL team. And the timing of when you can sign CFL players is different than like when free agency opens in the NFL in March. So there was a bidding war here for
him. Yeah, I think it's important not to make too much out of this. Like, I don't think Prince Mukamara is getting cut tomorrow because of a Trey Roberson. I don't think that's the right thing for the Bears to do. This guy's still very unproven at this level. But you're right, there was a bidding war for him. There was like 9 other teams going after this kid. What is he, 27 years old? Can't really call him a kid, but there's 9 teams in a bidding war for him. The Bears had the best offer. I have some of the details here. So it's a 2-year deal. $75,000 signing bonus, and it's full of roster bonuses, which is what Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, loves to do. So obviously it's filled with incentives. Bears love doing that. But I want to see him play. I've seen some of the film on him. Looks good. Yeah. Big guy. Good ball skills, all that stuff. But let's see him play first.
Well, and when this news first came out on Tuesday night, you got Adam Schefter tweeting about it from the Super Bowl, and 9 other teams were involved. It sounded richest contract for a CFL player going back to the NFL since Cameron Wake with the Dolphins.
Cam Wake was pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. Cameron Wake's deal was for over $4 million. Do you have the base salaries in front of you for Trey Roberson?
I don't, but it's not $4
million.
It's like
$580,000.
Yes.
$580,000. I think it goes up over $600,000 in the second year if he's still around. So, you know, as we always say, yeah, the Bears got it's a significant signing. They outbid some teams, but the demand is really in the dollars. And it's not like there was a huge demand for this guy. It's not like some team was willing to go above and beyond to overpay here. Now, what it does mean, though, is that the Bears have a project at a position of need.
Yeah.
A position where they could be letting Prince Mukamara go if he doesn't take a pay cut, I should say.
Yes.
And, you know, I know I'm the only one talking about it, but I've always identified Kyle Fuller as a possible trade possibility.
You are the only one talking about
it. I understand that.
you're quite crazy about that stuff. But look, Prince Mukamara, you could cut him and save some money salary cap-wise, but at the same time, cutting him opens up a significant hole in your defense. He's still a starter. He still was pretty durable, even though there was question marks about that. And you know what? He didn't have a bad season. People need to consider that. When considering their salary cap moves, he's still better than a serviceable player, well into his 30s. He's very capable out there. And, yeah, look, that Cam Wake thing, it sounds like a sexy comparison. But Cam Wake, Adam, arguably had like a Hall of Fame career. Guy went to, what, 5 or 6 Pro Bowls, right?
Yeah.
First or second team All-Pro a few times. He's got over 100 sacks. I mean, he's had a Hall of Fame like, at least in the discussion to be in the Hall of Fame like career.
Yeah, but that's why I wanted to bring up the difference in contracts.
Yes,
it's one thing for Schefter to tweet, oh, biggest contract since Cameron Wake, and then you really compare them, and they're not really
by millions and millions of dollars.
They're really not that comparable. But he definitely is probably the biggest CFL player
this year.
To try to come back to the NFL, and it is a player that isn't just somebody that's definitely going to get cut in August. He may get cut in August.
No. Yeah.
But it, this
he's going to get a shot.
This is the type of guy who's going to get a legitimate look and not just be one of those guys we hardly remember.
He's more, it's like a free agent addition.
Right. If they're going to do the 100-year celebration again this year and they're naming all 90 players at the ceremony, it's not going to be like Clifton Duck. And you're like, who?
Who? Duck?
Yeah.
Like someone's throwing something at me.
Right. So Trey Roberson, a guy to remember this offseason with the Bears at a position in need at cornerback. Now, the other news that came out that was really not surprising at all, but Mitchell Trubisky did have shoulder surgery, which kind of seemed like it was definitely going to happen.
Yes.
Ryan Pace at the end of the season did not confirm it, but pretty strongly said there was going to be a possibility. Usually when that happens, you're going to have the surgery. So it's his non-throwing shoulder. And I don't know if you follow the Trubisky's on Instagram. What's his?
The Truthers? The Trubisky Truthers?
No. What's his girlfriend's name? I'm forgetting. Hillary.
Yes.
Hillary. I follow her on Instagram. Not ashamed to admit it. Okay.
Okay.
She's been Instagramming all week from their vacation to wherever beautiful place they're in right now. He was not at the Super Bowl this week.
Good for him.
He took
my advice from our podcast. Get away.
It's exactly why he did
it. Don't even watch the game, Mitch.
He heard Hogan Johns and he was like, okay, I'm not going.
That's a great idea, Adam. Thanks, man. Going to the Bahamas.
Because he was at the Super Bowl the last 2 years. At least this, you know, when we say Super Bowl, we don't mean the actual game. I don't know if he went to the game, but he was in.
He went through the Radio Row circuit.
Yeah. Yeah, the promotional stuff there with, you know.
The car wash.
There's all this stuff going on. Marketing, agencies, the whole deal. That's why all these athletes are down there during Super Bowl week. So Mitch was down there. This time, looks like he's getting away. Beautiful yacht that they're on. Makes you really jealous.
Not bad for a kid from small town Ohio.
The reason I bring this up, though, is because in everything I've seen, there's absolutely no sign of actual surgery.
No one of those little holes.
Don't see a scar.
Yes.
Now, it may have been from the backside.
Okay.
You can't really see the back. But also, he's not in a harness. He's, you know, his arm's not in a sling. He's out there doing.
Well, it's my understanding that the surgery was actually a few weeks ago.
That would make sense.
So he could be post-sling in his recovery process. But
also an indication, though, I guess what I'm getting at, that's not like something that's going to terribly hinder his offseason.
This wasn't major surgery. Obviously, he played through the injury. I'm still of the opinion that that injury affected him a little bit more than the Bears wanted to let on. Just in terms of his wanting to run, wanting to be a difference maker with his legs, with a hole actually in his labrum in his shoulder. I think he was trying to protect himself from extra contact a lot during the year.
The biggest example, and this is not something that I've had anybody tell me, but just watching film, the worst game he had, in my opinion, from an RPO standpoint, the run-pass option, the moments where he's got to make a read of the defense on whether or not he's keeping the ball or handing it off. You remember that game where Cam Jordan was just all over him?
Yes.
And first of all, give Jordan
Saints defensive end Cam Jordan.
Give him credit because he played those plays tremendously and caused some of the confusion. But that was Mitch's worst game, in my opinion, from the RPO standpoint. And you may remember the Bears started getting away from that a little bit more. The following week was when they played the Chargers. They came out of halftime and they ran the I formation down the field, all the way down. I have to agree with you that some of that was the shoulder.
Yeah.
Because whether it was just an actual pain tolerance thing when you're sticking the ball into, you know, the belly of your running back, or it's just you're putting any doubt at all in your head about running, you may be more willing to hand the ball off when maybe you should actually keep it. It can affect your decision-making, and it's important because that was his first game back.
Yeah.
He got hurt in week 4 against the Vikings. He missed the game in London when Chase Daniel played, and then they had their bye week. They came back and played the Saints, and that was a terrible game.
It was one of his worst games of the year, one of the worst games of his career. I'm also of the opinion, and hold on, pause. Let's be clear. We're not making excuses for Mr. Trubisky's regression this season. We're not. He was not good. Let's be clear.
But I don't think we can gloss over the shoulder.
No. He had a harness on his shoulder that changed his throwing motion, and I think it took 2-3 weeks for him to actually get used to it. It changed his mechanics a bit. Now, his mechanics do need work overall. Again, no excuses for Mr. Trubisky's 2019 season. But that shoulder was a factor that everybody should still consider.
312-981-7200 is our phone number here. Adam Hoge, Adam Johns here with you as we take you up to Super Bowl 54 later on this afternoon. But a lot of our coverage will have a Chicago angle to it, and we did want to creep in some Bears talk here with you as well. So there's the details on the surgery. Based on what I saw on Instagram, doesn't seem to be affecting him too much. But I do think that and in terms of a timeline, which we just should discuss, Allen Robinson, who I talked to this week in Miami, admitted that this surgery will keep them from getting together in this first offseason period when they're away from Halas Hall to work on throws, to work on timing, to work on routes. So it is something that he is restricted from activity right now. But I think the question is, will he be ready to go when the team gets on the field in May for those first practices? They get together back at Halas Hall in April for meetings, lifting, things like that. Maybe he'll be restricted from a lifting standpoint.
I'm sure he will be.
Too. But will he be ready to throw when the team's actually out there on the practice fields at Halas Hall?
I hope this gives him more time to work on other fundamentals, like his feet, his footwork. Doesn't have to throw the ball there. He can maybe get ready to throw the ball without actually releasing the ball. But his footwork needs refinement. There's other things he can work on. I think Matt Nagy wants him to really get into the film, to study coverages. And again, like the guy needs a break. This season was more of a mental grind on him than anything. The criticism, the endless criticism, the comments about turning off the televisions. He needs a break. So that's actually having a positive view of this. The break for Trubisky, not even throwing the football for a couple months, I think could be good in terms of resetting his mind.
Looks like a nice break, too. Man, I wish I was on that yacht.
Whew. With Hillary?
Well, no, I'd like to be on it with my own wife. Thank you, but yeah. we're going to take a time out here. We'll be right back. Jared Payton will join us from Miami when we come back. Of course, they handed out the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award yesterday. Calais Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars was the winner of that. We'll talk to Jared Payton about that experience, and he was also on Radio Row all week long, too, and we'll hear some stories from Jared Payton when we come back. Hoge and Johns here on 720 WGN. Well, I'm sure he's on the other line of the phone right now singing this. He's Jared Payton. He's been in Miami all week. Still in Miami. What's up, JP?
What's going on, guys? I'm at the tailgate right now at Hard Rock Stadium. There's a band playing. Dan and Shay are on the stage. So I'm trying to get as far away as possible so you can hear me and you weren't hearing some new country and behind me.
I like Dan and Shay. I'm down with it.
Yeah. We like the ambiance, JP.
That's all good, man. It's kind of loud, and I want to be able to hear you, both of your amazing voices on the telephone.
All right, well, you sound good too, JP. Adam Hoge, Adam Johns here with you, getting ready for Super Bowl 54. Jared Payton is in Miami right now. Let's start with the Man of the Year Award, of course, named after your father, Jared, and the honor last night of being able to give it to Calais Campbell.
Yeah, man, I to be honest with you, it's been this whole week. We've been around all these guys that are doing great things in their community and a lot of guys that were very deserving of this award. But to have a former Cane, Calais Campbell, win this, it's so funny, you guys, because he was on his recruiting trip in 2003 that was my last year playing football. And to have an opportunity, he actually signed on the weekend that he came on his recruiting trip. And to see what this man has done his whole entire career on the football field and what he continues to do off the football field. He's just an amazing dude. Our family was super excited, but I tried to throw up the U last night on TV. I don't know if anybody saw it. I was super excited to have one of my brothers bring this award home, and now he's a new member of our family, and just to see the Walter Payton Man of the Year family grow is just amazing.
Yeah, JP, I remember having a burger with you at Kuma's in Vernon Hills, and we were talking about the fraternity of the winners of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Can you just take us through what's that like, those conversations are like amongst you guys when you hang out, you have dinner together, that fraternity of the award winners that's been created?
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy to think about, man, because I've become so close to all these guys, Thomas Davis and Anquan Boldin and myself. We are, like, We text each other and call each other. Our big thing is going to Mashro's and getting the butter cake. So we always, like, anytime we go there, we take pictures and text them to one another. And it's just anytime that a guy needs us or we need them, they're always there for us. And it's a family. And these guys are just, they want to win this award. Every guy, I was on the stage last night, you know, interviewing these guys before they went into to the NFL honors on the red carpet. And all of them said the exact same thing. I want to win this award more than I want to win the MVP, the All-Pro. This award means something, and it elevates what I'm doing off the field. And similar to my dad, man, he didn't want all of the hoopla and the cameras around. He just wanted to do things out of the kindness of his heart. And I think that's what we're seeing with these guys. They're trying to walk in his footsteps. And to know what my dad did on the field, you know, I'm a little biased because he's my dad, but I've watched a lot of football in my life, man. I've never seen anybody that's been able to do as much as he could do on the football field. But what he did off the field is what I remember him for. And these guys, even though they were like, they don't really remember watching him, they know what he was all about, and they strive to be like him off the field.
That's Jared Payton down in Miami, where he played his college ball at the U, as did Calais Campbell.
Adam, whoa. I'm at Hard Rock Stadium, the last place that I played a college football game, where I got a chance to hoist an MVP Orange Bowl trophy, guys. Like, are you? It's like all coming around full circle for me this whole entire week leading up to this game.
Yeah, I've seen that smile on your face all week when I was there earlier. It was like one giant, big Jared Payton college reunion all week long.
Yeah, but when you got all these guys, the fraternity, not just at the Walter Payton Man of the Year, but the U and all these guys that are here. I mean, it was cool to see Edgerrin James going to the Hall of Fame. Just to be around my brothers, man, it's just been an amazing week with a lot of work. And, Hogue, I saw you out there hustling, man. Everything was all good, but that sunshine always brings that joy to everybody when they come to South Florida.
Yeah, it definitely worked on me. Hey, you got to find Ed Reed, because Ed Reed got named chief of staff at the U. I don't even know what that means, but it seems like he should be hiring you under him.
I'm trying to, man. I said, listen, if my wife would let me come back down here for a little bit, we could get this program back on track. But I know Ed and just everything that he's all about. When you look at his greatness, I think it's only going to help out everything that's going on at Miami and Manny Diaz and trying to figure out how to get this program back on track and just being here for this week. It's been a lot of Super Bowl talk, a lot of Bears talk, but it's also been a lot of U talk, and we're trying to figure out how to get this program back on track. I feel like we're heading in the right direction, but you guys both know it's always hard to do, especially with some of these big programs like Clemson and Alabama that are taking over the college football landscape.
JP, when you look at the Super Bowl this year, and you look at the San Francisco 49ers and the way they run the ball. One, how much do you enjoy watching them run the ball the way like that? And do you think it will work tonight, later on, against the Chiefs?
We'll see in a little bit. I think when you have a balanced team in these type of games, it gives you an opportunity to win. But listen, this is what I feel like wins championships, is when you can play good defense, you can run the football. And we know how good Patrick Mahomes is. He's the best player on the football field. But if there's a way that you can kind of take advantage of keeping the game on the ground and keeping them off the field, that gives you an opportunity to win. So they're going to have to run the football. Kansas City's defense, so we've seen in the playoffs, they tightened down a little bit. And, you know, even stopping Derrick Henry, huge, because I didn't think that was going to happen. If they have one more game left in them, we'll have to see. With Spagnuolo doing everything he needs to do to be able to get these guys on track. But if you can run the football, man, it gives you an opportunity to win. And so I've been saying Chiefs all week, but I don't know, man. A balanced squad in this type of game, I feel like they have the edge just a little bit. I just feel like Casey's got the better quarterback on the football field.
Jared Payton, you can also see him on Game Night on WGN. How was the first week, buddy?
First week was cool. Friday, though, I was going from my hotel to the live shot here at Hard Rock, and it was thundering and lightning, and next thing you know, they canceled the live shot, so I was kind of upset. But I'm looking forward to seeing what we can grow with GN Sports and how we can grow it. Sit alongside Dan Rohn is amazing, and just getting back into the chair for the first time with him on this show Monday night tomorrow is going to be cool. So it's like I come back from Miami on vacation a little bit of all this work, and back to the stage. But being back at WGN always makes me feel at home.
All right, Jared, enjoy the game.
All right, boys, I'll talk to you later.
See you, JP.
Jared Payton from Miami. Having fun with Dan and Shay, it sounds like, right now.
He's rocking and rolling, man.
I always get reminded all the time of the different type of life Jared Payton leads. And the biggest reminder is every year at the Super Bowl, right before kickoff, he's on the field with the Man of the Year winner.
Yes.
With Connie, with Brittany, the whole Payton family. And right before kickoff, he'll be out there today, too, as well. So that's always fun to watch.
He's a celebrity in his own right, right? He works Radio Row.
Trust me. Just watch him on Radio Road during the week. It's a different world. Actually, real quick, cool moment. Right in front of where I was on Radio Row, Jared happened to come over to do a radio hit with some other station that was nearby, and Frank Gore was walking by. Of course, those two guys played together.
At the U.
And just to see like that type of interaction, Frank Gore, Jared Payton. And it was also a Miami radio station that he was about to join. So everybody, it just became this big like entourage right around my table. I'm like, come on, guys. I'm trying to work here. Get out of here, Frank Gore.
Yeah. So you
come on.
Things about Wisconsin football.
Yeah. Don't you have any respect for WGN here? Give me some space. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll take a timeout. Come back. Got a ton more coming up here. Just 1 hour into our four-hour Super Bowl show. What a day it is here in Chicago. 720 WGN.
We keep it fun. We keep it loose. You know, I think there were a few people that came into our locker room for the first time, and they were like, man, this is the loosest locker room you would think. This isn't a winning team, but that's the difference when you're confident, when you know what you're playing for, when you know what you're doing, when you're locked in. You don't have to sit there serious all and worry and sit there with anxiety. You can enjoy. You can let your hair down because you know you're putting the work in.
That was Richard Sherman, the talented 49ers cornerback.
All-Pro?
Yeah, went back to All-Pro status this year, a big escalator in his contract for that.
One that he negotiated himself.
Which he immediately went to brag about.
On Twitter, yes.
Because he got a lot of heat.
That's what Twitter's for, though, Adam.
That's right. He got a lot of heat for not getting an agent in his last negotiation. And a lot of people wrote some hit pieces criticizing the way that contract was written. And then that kind of created a second debate. I know him and Joe Thomas really went at it. Joe Thomas, the longtime Browns left tackle, who knows, you know, he's a smart guy, knows a lot about the business. Still, after Richard Sherman was kind of bragging that, hey, this worked out for me, said that doesn't, he had a pretty good, strong argument that, you know, just because it worked out for you doesn't mean that it was smart to sign what you signed.
Yeah. Not everybody's Richard Sherman. The guy is extremely intelligent, went to Stanford. An amazing story. But players, I can't negotiate my own contract. You can't negotiate your own contract. Like, people in the media have agents. A lot of people have agents. It's just, I understand the feelings of pride, and I know we have a lot to get to here, so this is my one thought on it. It's just, the agents still have importance in all sports, and just because it worked out for you doesn't mean it's going to work out for everybody else.
That's Adam Johns. I'm Adam Hoge, and we are the tandem of the Hoge and Johns podcast, which you can find on WGNRadio.com throughout the football season, throughout the year. We do it all off season as well, and we have bonus episodes every week on The Athletic and on The Athletic app as well. And we're here together hosting on Super Bowl Sunday, getting you ready for Super Bowl 54 at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. A texter from the 815 is wondering, where's Patrick Finley?
Oh, in Miami.
Maybe we should check in with Patrick Finley.
You want to text him? We can text him.
We have an open segment, 4 o'clock hour. That might be a good way to fill it. Get a little pregame hit with Patrick Finley, our friend from the Chicago Sun-Times. Maybe we will do that. Right now, we are trying to keep this loose and fun for those of you headed to your Super Bowl parties today. And I always like to have this discussion about the best way to watch the Super Bowl. And personally, I like to just sort of be locked in my house.
By yourself?
Not necessarily by myself, you know, but not with a lot of people. Not at a giant
party.
What's
the over-under?
On people?
Yes. What's a tolerable amount for Adam Hoge?
Five? Including the dog?
Now, did these... Okay, so 4. Do these have to be family members, close friends, or... Can you take the loud friend?
It's not about it's. Here's the requirement. I just like to be able to hear the game. I like to be able to see what's going on.
So turn it up.
But when you're in a room with like 40 people, it's impossible. Most of those people aren't even paying attention to the game. I just gave you my opinion. How do you like watching the game?
I'm a sociable guy.
Okay.
I don't have an over-under.
That was a shot at me.
I like people, Adam, for the most part. But
I like people, too. I also like watching the Super Bowl.
Yes. Well, okay. I don't know. Maybe 10, 12 people. I like watching it actually with my sons. It's very enjoyable for me now to share in football watching with my sons because I can't do it during the regular season. Obviously, because I'm covering the Bears, and my sons are of football-caring age. So one son wants the 49ers. The other son wants the Chiefs. So they're going to go at it all game. Now I might have to yell at them, but it's going to be entertaining. I like the social aspect of the game. I like watching the commercials. I like the food. Got to have a lot of chips and dips in my type of party. A lot of finger foods. Maybe some sliced salami, some cheese, some crackers. That's what I need.
That is the one thing you lack when you don't go to a Super Bowl party.
Socialization?
No, I meant the food, large variety of food.
You can still have a variety of food for yourself.
Sure, but there's got to be a limit when it's like you're just sitting there at home.
Okay, what's your go-to food? What's a must on your table?
On Super Bowl Sunday? A must. I like a lot, like cheese and salami.
Yes, yeah. I'm a cheese and salami guy.
Yeah, like a good variety of it, too.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I like different types of dips, not just the French onion and the standard potato chip, but like buffalo chicken dip.
I love buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah, or like a good taco dip. Mm-hmm. You know, chili no bean dip, something like that, something warm. Variety, very important.
312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have strong opinions on how you should be watching the Super Bowl. Here's the ironic, maybe that's not the right word, hypocritical thing. I am going to my first real Super Bowl party in a long time later on today.
Now, can you just,
put yourself
in a room with three other people?
No, this is like a bigger one. But a lot of hardcore football fans and they're actually big listeners of our podcast, too.
Okay. Are they listening right now? Or are they just getting ready for the party?
They probably have us on right
making
now at their Super Bowl pregame party.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll find out later one way or the other. But I am actually excited for it. Little nervous about being able to keep track of everything. I am kind of working.
You're not going to chart the game, are you?
I'm not going to chart the game, but I
put a beer in your hand and eat some taco.
I do have to be on television at 6:40 in the morning.
You can catch up. You got plenty of time.
You know, talk about the game in an intelligent manner.
Oh, you'll be all right.
At least attempt to.
Yes. Yes. You've done TV hits from live from your bed in like Minneapolis.
I've never done one from my bed.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Hotel rooms, yes.
You move off the bed to the chair, but fine. Yeah.
I decided to do my one this week from the pool.
Oh.
I wasn't in the pool. I was by the pool.
Should have done it.
As I talked to Pat Tomasulo.
Requested you to be in the pool.
By the way, that stuff flies on the WGN Morning News. Yes, they would love that.
That's what makes them so great.
I'll never forget Pat Tomasulo and his talented producer, Nick Boyan. They were in San Francisco when the Cubs were playing the Giants in the playoffs. And think about what time they're starting those live hits. Because 6 a.m. in Chicago is 4 a.m. in San Francisco. So they were covering the game the night before. So they weren't sleeping.
No.
Basically weren't sleeping. So by the time they got to their last day, they're like, we're just doing this from the balcony at the hotel. And then they gradually, their next one was just in the bed. Yeah. They literally were live on the news in the bed. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was awesome. In only a way that Pat Tomasulo can do.
Yes. You know, a little bedside manner.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll get you that conversation with Kyle Long, Bears right guard. Recently retired. So we'll give you a good idea of everything Kyle Long was really playing through throughout his career, especially these last four seasons, really, as he went on injured reserve 4 years in a row and ultimately led to him retiring and cutting a very promising career and still a good career short. That's coming up next here on 720 WGN. All right, keeping things here going as we get you ready for Super Bowl 54 at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns here with you on 720 WGN. Getting a lot of Super Bowl talk in. We will continue to break down the matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs. A lot of you listening may not be hardcore football fans, so later on in the show we're going to break down each of these teams for you and kind of give you a primer on maybe what you've missed so far, because a lot of fans don't watch the NFL all year, and then everybody watches the Super Bowl. So we'll get those fans ready, too, a little bit later on. But right now, what we're going to keep it on the Chicago Bears, your Chicago Bears, and Kyle Long, who had his season cut short earlier this year, landed on injured reserve for the fourth straight season, and when it was all said and done, decided to walk away from the game at the age of 31. I had a chance to talk to Kyle Long in Miami earlier this week on Radio Row. He opened up about some of the injuries that he battled through and the reasoning for that retirement. This conversation started, though, with sort of the odd timing and circumstances of which Kyle Long was there. He flew to London with the Bears. He played in that game against the Raiders. None of us, including him, knew it would ever be his last NFL game. He got on the flight home, and we never saw him again. And quite frankly, it was weird.
Yeah, it was just as weird for me than it was for you. I just remember played the game, did not play well. We did not win. It was a long flight home, and I sat right across from Nagy. And it was clear to me that there were going to be changes made. And I remember being there on Monday because we got back and then we had our players meeting with the coaches. And it was clear to me that changes were going to be made.
So it's funny you say that, because Nagy had his press conference in London that morning you guys flew out. And you could just tell on his face that he hadn't slept, wasn't happy. We asked about the offensive line, and he basically said, we're going to look at everything and probably make changes. But, you know, you're, as a reporter, you're looking up and down and you're going, well, what possible changes could there be? Unless, honestly, these were the discussions we had. If Kyle's not healthy, is that a possible move? Now, I didn't necessarily foresee them putting you on IR, but what can you tell us now about what was going on, what you were dealing with, and why that's how it played out?
I had a torn groin week two against the Broncos.
So you were playing through that.
And I asked the staff, I said, I'm going to get images, just tell me how bad it is. And they said, well, the good news is it's not torn off the bone. I said, cool. And I tried to play with it, and I thought I could, and it got progressively worse. It would be like trying to run with a hip flexor strain. It just got worse and worse and worse. And eventually it came to a head in the Raiders game. I couldn't do much. I wasn't powerful. Like, you could turn on the film for many years and be like, even if he's not healthy, he's powerful.
Yep.
I lost all my power. At a certain point, you just say, do I like the guy that I'm showing on film? Do I like the teammate that I am to my teammates? And does Mitch trust me? That doesn't make me a bad guy.
No.
It just means I can't do my job. And it takes some wherewithal to say, okay, the writing's on the wall, I get it. Now, credit to the Bears, because I've been on IR the last 4 years. I played my balls off for them for as long as I could until I couldn't anymore. But the Bears did right by me by not cutting me, by not trading me, because I've always said I'm a one-team player, and being a Chicago Bear is what makes me me. And I love that about Chicago.
Well, I was going to ask you why it was so important for you to retire as a Bear. I'm sure you would have had opportunities to at least a minimum join a team this offseason and make a team, but you seem content that you can step away, find something else to do in your life. I'm sure you're not going to leave football.
Yeah, I could have been in some warmer cities playing next year and probably been able to miss camp and miss OTAs, like get some of the cool vet perks.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that. Some of my best memories are from Bourbonnais, squaring off against Akeem Hicks. Squaring off against Jeremiah Ratliff.
Oh, man.
Squaring off against you name it. These were the situations that made me a man. And now I can call Akeem, and we can laugh about that stuff. And that's the most important thing in my life, is those relationships. Whether him and I know it now, the battles we had in Bourbonnais and the battles we had at Hallis Hall or whatever, they carve out who you are for the rest of your life. And that's the amazing thing about football. You can't do it forever.
No. unfortunately, it seemed like you could have done it a lot longer if not for everything you just talked about, the injuries you battle. I talked to your dad yesterday. Didn't know.
Which I haven't listened to yet, but I will.
Yeah. Our listeners, if they heard it or listened to our podcast, they've heard it. He was great. I honestly didn't know what to expect.
Go figure. He does okay on radio, too.
I know, but I don't think I've ever talked to him in an interview.
He's pretty chill.
Before. He was, and I just threw him a question about you. Didn't really. And the way he detailed all the stuff you went through, especially the neck. He
the stuff that I try to Men in Black myself of, like the flash in front of my eyes to forget everything. Because, you know, if you talk to Evel Knievel in his heyday, they're not going to say, what about that crash?
Yeah.
They're going to say, how far are you jumping next week? Dad remembers all the crashes.
Well, he said, look, I was there in the surgery rooms. And look, I, just to get personal for a second, the one thing I, in this job, have come to appreciate the most in those NFL locker rooms is what you guys are really dealing with. Because, A, the teams don't want to talk about it. If it wasn't for the injury report, we probably wouldn't hear about half that stuff. And you guys don't want to talk about it either because, A, you don't want to make excuses. And, B, you know, having a long injury history doesn't help you.
You get an injury-prone tag next to you.
Exactly. So it's tough for us to always kind of relay to the fans that, hey, if a guy's not playing well, there's probably a good reason behind it, especially if he has a track record like you did, 3 Pro Bowls, and having the history of being a good player. But anyway, just hearing your dad talk about all that stuff and what you're battling, I don't know if you want to talk about it or not. Sounds
I'm
like
down for whatever. I'm at peace with everything.
Well, here's the one thing I always wanted to ask you about, because you've mentioned it in the past, but the surgery where you ended up throwing up a ton afterwards.
My ankle.
Okay.
When I blew out my ankle, I knew I was on the downhill. It was that ankle injury was worse than anybody knows.
Yeah.
The guy who did my surgery told me I'd probably never play again. And I told him, watch me. And it was funny because that year, that doctor ended up going up and getting an office at the Packers facility. Foot and ankle specialist. He's not a Packer fan, but they hired the best. And so I would have to go up to Green Bay to meet with him in a third-party office. And I remember him telling me, he was the guy who inspected my ankle at the combine.
Okay.
So he's seen me since I was 22. And
so you had to go to Green Bay to see him. That's an interesting twist.
Well, this was while I was in recovery from the ankle. Yeah. He was in Charlotte when I got surgery. Dr. Anderson, great guy, great doc. He worked miracles on my ankle, to be honest. And I can do things now that I never thought I'd be able to do after that. But playing football was not the best thing for it.
You know what's crazy about that is I still, you know, a lot of times guys suffer a bad injury in a game and we don't see them in the locker room. I still, to this day, have this vivid memory of you sitting there in the locker room with your ankle. Is this right? Or am I thinking of a different game? No, I'm pretty sure this was in Tampa.
So, in Tampa.
And you're sitting there and you're kind of laughing about it almost. And that just shows you how tough you were.
So you got to think about the number. Like, I'll put it into, like, the guys who clear rooms in the military.
Yeah.
And who are the best at it. They may clear 150 rooms clean, but the 151st one, there was something maybe they didn't see and something goes wrong. Luckily, in the NFL, it's not a life and death scenario. I think part of me laughing that day was understanding how lucky I was and how many rooms I cleared at a high level before I stepped on a landmine.
Well, it's amazing what you went through, and it's good to see you here. You look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Although your dad said you're 290. Is that accurate? Or are you even below that?
I think he's getting up there. How you doing, man? I think he's getting up there, and maybe his weight guessing is off.
All right, fair enough. What do you want to do? What plans?
I don't know.
You want to stay in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be definitely – I'm no idiot. I'm a one-team player.
Okay.
I'm no idiot. I know to stay in Chicago.
You don't want to go to Nashville and join Cuddy's reality TV show?
I can maybe try to get Cuddy on a radio show in Chicago. but there's so many tremendous folks like yourself within the community, in the media community in Chicago, who have reached out. And obviously, we have all had great relationships over the last 7 years. And it's something that I knew. Never burn bridges, because you never know when somebody could be the guy that you may need help from. And it's amazing. You treat people the right way, and then opportunities come just flowing in the front door. Like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you're always there to talk, even through all the tough times, and we always appreciated that. Let me turn you into an analyst real quick. Direction of the Bears right now. It seems like you see it on social media and everything. It's like the city's on fire right now, and sometimes I can kind of be therapeutic and tell fans, hey, look, it wasn't a great season, but there's still a lot of good pieces in place here to turn this thing around next year.
2 years ago, when we had tremendous success and we went to the wild card, mm-hmm. it was a very similar team as we had this past year. Health and the running game.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that separated the seasons. Now, people want to place the blame on Matt, or they want to place the blame on Mitch. And that's unfair, because there's so many people on the field that dictate how the game ends up. I think if you draft early and invest in early picks on the offensive and defensive line, you'll never go wrong.
Yeah. Well, so last thing for you then, because that's the hardest thing the hardest question I keep getting is, what happened with the running game? Is the best answer all of the above?
All of the above.
Scheme, assignments?
I would say scheme is not the issue.
Okay.
We, as football players, we're told what to do and we're asked to execute. And if you don't execute, everybody looks bad because of it. And if one of the five guys isn't executing, me for example, if I'm not playing the ball that I'm capable of playing, it drags everybody else down. Like they say, rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
That's how an offensive line works. If we
that sounds
do well,
like a John Fox line.
Everybody else, I love John Fox. Everybody else does well when the offensive line does well. And you look around the playoffs, and you look at Super Bowl Sunday, and what do these two groups have in common? Great O lines.
Well, real quick, you're here with Gillette, Walgreens.
Gillette and Walgreens have partnered and allowed me to come to Radio Row. Just essentially talking about skincare, man. I don't have a helmet on anymore, so I need to be more in tune with how I look first presentation as opposed to what I look like on film. So shaving, keeping my head clean and my beard trimmed up is big. Through February, they're going to have buy one, get one, 50% off select shave products, as well as $4 coupons for razors. So go to Walgreens.com or check out your local Walgreens for more information.
Kyle, it's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adam.
That was Kyle Long earlier this week on Radio Row in Miami. Adam Johns and I will react to the interview when we come back. We'll also hear from his father, Howie Long. You heard some of those comments referenced in that interview. That's coming up next, 720 WGN. Oh, the Super Bowl is getting closer and closer here. Hope you're enjoying your afternoon around Chicago. The sun is out. What a nice Super Bowl.
It's beautiful.
Sunday.
It's 50 degrees.
It really, I mean.
You did bring the weather back from Miami.
I tried. I tried. The airline was trying to charge extra. As they try to do, but here it is. We at least get one good day of it, and what a great day it is to be getting around the city. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday, getting ready for the game, and we're trying to continue to get you ready. We're going to get a little bit deeper into this matchup between the 49ers and Chiefs, especially for some of you that may not know the insides and outs of these two teams, and you're a little bit curious as you're getting ready to watch this game this afternoon. We'll do that a little bit later on. In our last segment, you heard from Kyle Long, the now retired right guard of the Chicago Bears, who played his entire career with the Bears and has now retired at the age of 31. We're going to play some of the comments from his father here in a minute or two. But Adam Johns, just wanted to give you an opportunity to react to the interview.
There's a few things I always remember about Kyle Long's career. Number one, it's the surprise we all felt in the Muggs Auditorium at Halas Hall when he was selected. What was it, 20th overall? Is that correct? When Phil Emery drafted him, because no one saw it coming. Didn't really need a guard. Obviously, he turned into a great pick for Phil Emery, one of the few great picks that he had, but I think everyone was stunned at first. And you saw this super athlete come here. And then, look, when he was here, it was his toughness, his ability to play through injuries. Went through some gruesome things. He mentioned his ankle in that interview. It was purple when we saw in the locker room, Adam. Purple, like purple, black, and
it's just, it was nasty. And then this, he had the fights at training camp, but I'll remember a tough player who, when at his best, was one of the most physical and the most physically gifted offensive linemen in the league.
He really was, and you're not wrong about that purple ankle. I think, and by the way, I have a story up on WGNradio.com/Bears that you can find kind of detailing all this, but you know, I referenced in that story how it was many different colors.
Yeah.
None of which were
normal. Rainbow. We're not exaggerating either. I think there was some yellow in there. It was bad.
And as I referenced in that interview there, he was sitting there with like the ankle just out, sort of laughing about it.
He's probably full of pain medication.
Oh, sure. And the Bears lost that day to the Bucs. They got killed. He managed to get back out there on the sideline, which is even remarkable. There's a picture I found of him, you know, his foot up.
Yeah.
He's got crutches, but he's at least out there supporting his teammates. And I think that, you know, sure, Kyle had some ups and downs. Referenced the training camp fight in August where he swung his helmet at, I can't remember the player's name.
Jalen Dalton? Does
that sound right? He got cut. He wasn't part of the team. It was a couple days.
He's been in scuffles before. I still remember John Fox and Ryan Pace escorting him off the practice fields in Bourbonnais.
Well, you heard him reference Akeem Hicks and those battles he had with Akeem Hicks. That's one of the guys you get into it all the time. Like that's the stuff. And when you talk to the old school guys, like when Hamp and OB are on the station every Sunday, I mean, that was like a normal two-a-day practice.
Yes. Kyle would have fit right in with those Black and Blues brothers. You know what I'm talking about? That poster of that offensive lineman from the 1985 Bears or the Bears offensive line from that era would have fit in perfectly with those guys. He would have loved to go up against Mongo, McMichael, you know, Hamp. Those battles that Dick loved back then, Kyle Long, what was like the next coming, he's part of that ilk. He has it in him. He runs hot. Dick would have loved this guy, but it's the injuries, man. I'll remember the injuries because they really ruined what could have been a really successful career for him.
This text from the 630, Kyle Long sure received the Derrick Rose Award for the most games missed due to injury. Let me explain to you why that's a little unfair. Because Kyle, and I think if you hear, and we're going to hear from Howie here in a second, and if you read my story, the guy tried as hard as he could to play through everything. And
he put off neck surgery to continue playing.
He played a whole season with needing neck fusion surgery. Okay? Sure, Kyle ended up missing a lot of games his last three seasons. Before that, though, before that ankle injury that we're referencing in Tampa, I believe he missed one game.
And that was a gruesome injury. People need to realize how that happened, too. A trick play to fullback Paul Lisicki. Talk about a trivia question for like Bears fans. Name the Bears fullback in 2015. Paul Lisicki.
That was the Australian.
Yes, the rugby player.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, the right. Yeah, that didn't really work out.
Right into his ankle, got rolled up. I can still see Kyle Long getting carted off, and he's banging on the side of the cart, screaming at his guys to go. And then Jameis Winston takes it to the Bears. Just unfortunate.
I've gotten into it on Derrick Rose, and I've probably overreacted a little bit too much to him wanting to sit out. I think you, at some point, need to really try to understand what these athletes are going through. That's what I'm trying to do right now with Kyle Long. That's what we're trying to do. But look, Derek was maybe overly cautious at times.
Yes.
Kyle Long, honest to God, after hearing what he had to say, what his dad had to say, like probably should not have been on the field in 2018. When you hear all the surgeries he went through and the neck fusion thing that he then played after that. So this guy was trying to battle as hard as he could for the Chicago Bears. I would not compare those situations too much.
In my opinion, injury-prone guys are like the guys who always have like pulled hamstrings.
Yes.
Guys that sit out practices with bumps and bruises. Kyle Long was not that type of guy. He dealt with serious, extremely serious injuries. Again, his ankle was a rainbow, an absolute rainbow. It was just disfigured. It was nasty. Needed reconstructive surgery. The ligaments across his entire ankle were torn, I believe. Just nasty.
You probably know this, but Kyle Long's dad is Howie Long, the Hall of Famer, the Raiders, who you see on TV every week with Fox. Part of Fox's pregame stuff today. Fox had a big media availability in Miami for all their personalities. I found Howie Long there, and I asked him to reflect on his son Kyle's retirement.
I'll say this. He took the Lewis and Clark route to get to the NFL. Drafted out of high school in baseball. Opted to go to Florida State. The only thing that went well down there was baseball for the semester. I pulled him out of school. He was working at a surf shop for a year and a half out in Newport Beach. Decided to go to a community college, unbeknownst to us. Said, hey, coach, my name's Kyle. I'd like to try out for your team. Imagine this, walking into a community college and saying, hey, coach, my name's Kyle. I'd like to try out for your team. Goes there, goes up to Chip Kelly up in Oregon, plays 1 year, gets drafted in the first round. Questionable first-round pick, given his limited background in football and only six starts in college. In that three-year period, he's a unique person physically. I've always said this guy puts his hands on some people's shoulders and you're special physically. Now what are you going to do with it? And for 3 years, and this is, I base this off of people that I come in contact with, because it's hard to see the trees for the forest when it's your son. But I remember Bill Belichick telling me after that week of practice up in New England that he said, your other boy, because Chris was playing up there then, he said, your other boy, Kyle, he's good. He's special. And I said, well, he doesn't really know what he's doing yet. And he said, he might be the best guard in football. So as I've said to Kyle, the ankle reconstruction, the knee scope, the fusion of the neck, the shoulder surgery, the elbow surgery. I remember that night when he had the shoulder and the elbow done in the same surgery in post-op and back at the hotel room, following him around the hotel, throwing up 35, 40 times that night, literally 35, 40 times. And the fusion was probably the one that I think gave him pause and gave us pause too. When he came out of that post-op with the neck brace on and, it, not great. He would have liked for his career to have been longer and played in Chicago his whole career and been thought of in the same, breath with guys like Jimbo Cobert and all those guys. But while he was there, he made some waves.
Difficult for him to rely on his body.
I don't know if it's difficult to rely on the body as much as it is. The neck was tough. You start getting your neck fused, and you're playing offensive guard, and defensive tackles are 330 pounds, and it's impact every play. And it didn't just happen on a Monday and he had the surgery on Tuesday. He was playing with it for over a year. The shoulder, playing with it for over a year. And then the elbow got discovered, and at some point you just have to say, look, it's been great. You poured your heart and soul into it. You gave everything you had to. It was important to him to be a Bear, and I know how important it was to him, and I think the thought of going somewhere else would be, be like me going somewhere. How could you be anything but a Raider? Hard to imagine Kyle as being anything but a Bear. He's in a really good place. He's about 290 right now. Looks great. He's been working out off and on with Olin Krutz, and I think Olin is Olin is me without the father-son angst, because Olin will tell you exactly what he thinks. And we have some very frank conversations, but, as is the case with most fathers and sons, it's a challenge to get that conversation by the point where he wants to kick my rear end, And I said, look, kicking my rear end is not a challenge. You kick my rear end and then go down to preschool.
There he is, Howie Long, discussing his son Kyle's retirement. And while the career was cut short, I mean, Kyle Long is, at least in the discussion, is one of the all-time Bears. Guy, you're not going to forget.
Yeah, he's on Dan Pompey's and Don Pearson's
list of 100 greatest Bears. I forget exactly where he is, but he's on there.
There you go.
For a short while, he was the face of the team as a right guard.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary if you think about it. Also unfortunate because of, the other positions lacking talent. But for a guy coming from the family that he comes from, playing the position that he did, having the story that he has, for a short while, he's probably the best Bears football player for a few years here.
That's Adam Johns. I'm Adam Hoge. We're going to shift the conversation to the game, 49ers and Chiefs coming up. We're going to discuss some of our favorite over-unders and prop bets coming up next here on 720 WGN.
Obviously, a lot of things were kind of going wrong at that time, but I felt like we still were playing good football. We just weren't executing at a high enough level. And so kind of going and talking to the offense and the defense, I just told everybody if we just take it one play at a time, then we can get ourselves back in this game.
That's Patrick Mahomes discussing the Kansas City Chiefs' remarkable game against the Houston Texans 3 weeks ago when they were down 24-0 early. And didn't they have the lead back by halftime?
Sorry, he really sounds like Kermit the Frog. I know it's been like a running joke, but every time I hear it, I'm just struck by, like, it's so spot on how much he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
He really does.
Yes.
It's a unique voice.
Yes.
Well, unique other than Kermit, but yeah. Okay.
Did you see some of his teammates try to imitate him this week?
No.
Tyreek Hill did it almost spot on, too, but it's quite funny.
Doing Kermit. Okay, so at least he's cool about it then.
Yes, he's got a unique voice.
He should be.
Sounds like Kermit the Frog.
He shouldn't let his voice affect him because he certainly doesn't let, he doesn't flinch on the field. And that game against the Texans is the primary example. Adam Hoge and Adam Johns here with you as we get you closer to Super Bowl 54, kicking off about 5:30 local time here in Chicago. Beautiful day here in the Windy City, and starting to get close to the end of hour two of our four-hour show here. Want to discuss some of our favorite over-unders or prop bets, whichever direction you want to go in here. I asked you, Johns, to pick out three. I have three of my favorites. You want to start?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start with the under. So, by the way, these may be game-related. Mine are actually game-related.
Just the score? That's boring, but okay.
That's fine, but I'm trying to give our listeners some actual strong opinions here.
Okay.
You and I make picks on our podcast all the time, and we really just try to discuss the biggest games of the week, and our picks are always wrong because we don't really feel strongly.
In my picks for the Bears season this year, I went 12-4.
Wow.
12-4. Let it be known.
You know what would be funny? I don't have any idea what I went, but what if I went 13-3?
Well, you picked them to be 13-3, and they went 8-8. Terms of picking games this year, my friend, I went 12-4.
Yeah, that's
so. Listen to me, everybody, instead of him when we do this.
Yeah, I am the one who predicted 13-3. All right. Well, at least we put all the credentials out there before this. I like the under. The under has actually shifted like a point since I looked this up an hour before our show. I had it at 54.5. It's down to 54. It's actually 52.5 in a couple places. So I guess it depends where you can get it. A lot of discussion, though, this week, and it was the same thing when I was down in Miami, about how high scoring of a game people think this is going to be. I think a lot of people are forgetting that Super Bowls tend to get off to slow starts. And wasn't the Super Bowl last year, wasn't it like 10-3 in the fourth quarter? Now, different matchup. Didn't have Patrick Mahomes. Didn't have this Chiefs offense in that game. But I think I just think people are a little overreacting a little bit to these offenses and forgetting the fact that this 49ers defense is really, really good.
Really good.
Now, they did get into a shootout with the Saints earlier this year. And someone brought that up to me this week. I would like to counter that, though. I believe that was the game after they played in Baltimore, which was a really old school black and blue battle in the trenches, and it was natural for the following week. They had to go to New Orleans, play Drew Brees, for the defense to not play as well. And they ended up winning that game after all that. So if this does become a shootout, it is something they can win. Anyway, I actually think that this stays under because I expect the 49ers to get out to a lead, and I expect them to play ball control offense and try to shorten up the game. And as good as Patrick Mahomes is, as good as the Chiefs' offense is, I do not necessarily see a huge high-scoring affair today.
See, I see it. We're not giving away our predictions here yet. Right. So I see that actually playing out for maybe the majority of the first half, maybe into the third quarter. But I think both of these teams have enough playmakers on offense where all it takes is one play and you're 50 yards down the field, especially the Chiefs. We saw what they did against the Texans, right? 21 points in like less than, what, 5 minutes or something like that in the third quarter. Can blow a game wide open instantly. I could see that happening here in Miami.
All right, I'll just give you my other two here, too. Jimmy Garoppolo for MVP is plus 275. So that means on a $100 bet, you return 275. That's much better odds than you're getting on Patrick Mahomes. In a game, this is a value pick here, because in a game where the spread is only 1.5, I mean, this is pretty close to a pick'em. In some places, it's 1. And, okay, if the 49ers win the game, who's going to win MVP? Your best chance is that it's probably going to be the quarterback. So, you know, even if you think the Chiefs are actually going to win, if you're 50-50 on it at all or you have any doubts, the much better value pick here if you're trying to pick the MVP is Jimmy Garoppolo. So I like that. You're getting way better return on Jimmy G than you are Patrick Mahomes. So I like that one. And then this was gets a little bit more specific. But the over-under on Mecole Hardman's receiving yards in this game is only 24.5.
Yeah.
He's the type of player to get that on one play. Like even a swing pass out of the backfield, he could pick up 30. And I actually think Mecole Hardman's going to be very involved today. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on stopping Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, as there always is. And I think Sammy Watkins and Hardman might be the guy that slips out of there for a couple big plays. So that's a small one. You're not getting tremendous value. I think it's minus 120. But I just think it's such a given that he's going to get that.
See, my favorite plays, my favorite bets for the Super Bowl are like specific things like that. Like who will score the first touchdown. I think Raheem Mostert, the former Bear, or training camp Bear, is like a popular pick after he ran for like, what, 220 yards in the NFC Championship game. And there's an over-under for his yardage. I think I got it here, like 76.5. I think a lot of people are going to go over with that. One of the weaknesses is the Chiefs' run defense. But my favorite thing about the Super Bowl in terms of bets, prop bets, fun bets, are like the random things that you could bet on. Like here's one from my bookie. Over under 5.5 seconds it takes Demi Lovato to sing "Brave." Just the word "Brave."
I just want to clarify that is a website called My Bookie, not your actual bookie.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll let the listeners decide. But yes, mybookie.com. Yes, at the end of the national anthem, like that type of stuff, or over under on wardrobe changes for J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez,
in the Super Bowl,
halftime show. It's 2.5.
Okay,
2.5. I would go under. I would go under.
I would go over.
Yes. How about this? Will Alex Rodriguez be shown through in the halftime show? Like, that's the stuff from the Super Bowl that I have fun with. I specifically remember being in college. It was like Fergie. I don't remember the exact Super Bowl, but we all had a bet on Fergie and what she was doing at halftime. And I remember losing that one while others won at our Super Bowl party in college. That's the fun stuff about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. Did you give three there?
Well, I said a few there, my friend. Okay. You want another one?
But
what color Gatorade will be poured on the winning coach? Purple, red, clear water, lime green, orange, blue. That's the best stuff.
Wouldn't red be the best?
Well, the best Gatorade's purple.
Right,
be clear.
Now, do these so like Northwestern always has purple Gatorade on their sideline because they're purple.
Well, it's also the best tasting.
I agree. But so do these teams go by color and they have red Gatorade on the sideline? That'd be the best bet, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. So
our producer, Curtis Koch, said he won this last year. That he actually, I don't know what color he bet on, but he said he got it.
I bet on blue.
See?
Patriots were blue, but also the Rams wore their blue and yellow jerseys.
This is what I'm talking about. The bet on that one is red today. Go red.
Go red plus 200. Okay.
All right. When we come back, we are going to get into the 49ers a little bit. We're going to spend a couple segments. The top of the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to look at the 49ers. Top of the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to look at the Chiefs. So for those of you that may not be completely familiar with these teams, we're going to give you a little bit of a primer on both of them so you know what you're watching this evening in the Super Bowl. It's Adam Hoge, Adam John, 720 WGN.
Well, it's a long season. So, you know, people get banged up and things like that, but it's just when you can play good defense, run the football like that, and just be efficient on third down, it makes you tough to beat this time of year. So it's a good combo for success.
That's the voice of Jimmy Garoppolo, the local kid.
The pride of Rolling Meadows.
Arlington Heights.
Played at Rolling Meadows High School.
Played at Rolling Meadows. Grew up in Arlington Heights.
Went to Eastern Illinois.
Went to Eastern Illinois. Second round pick of the New England Patriots. Traded to the San Francisco 49ers the same year the Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky.
I feel like there's a lot of people in the Chicago area. Like, everybody has a story. I know a lot of guys that went to Eastern Illinois. You know, even my brother went to Eastern Illinois. Oh, I had a beer with Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course. Everybody's going to be sharing that story today at the Super Bowl parties. Rooting on the local.
All right. Bears fans, of course, know who Jeff Joniak is, the voice of the Bears. Every year at the Super Bowl on Radio Row, I spend time with him because we're both down there. We had a conversation the other day that as much talk as there is about the Bears not drafting Patrick Mahomes, the other quarterback in this game today. By the way, it's Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you. 720 WGN, getting you ready for the Super Bowl today. We are the hosts of the Hogan Johns podcast, which you can listen year-round to on WGNradio.com. I maintain that if you're really going to have regrets over not picking up one of these two quarterbacks, I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is actually the one who really got away.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is better. He's the MVP, and we're going to have discussions about that later. He could have MVP in the Super Bowl already. 2 years of playing. I mean, like, is he already in the Hall of Fame conversation? He kind of already is.
Well, longevity is part of the right. consideration, but
yeah.
So, yes, this is special stuff we're watching.
But with all that, when you go back to that draft, Mahomes really wasn't, like, hindsight's 20/20, but Mahomes really wasn't in that conversation for that high of a pick.
He was the ultimate wild card.
Right.
All the talent in the world, but she had question marks about what he did at Texas Tech.
Yeah. Now, I do always do come back to that conversation as well. Not every team thought that way because the Chiefs obviously thought high enough to trade up high and get them. So they are the ones that are now rewarded for that. But when it comes back to Jimmy Garoppolo for me, he wasn't going to be a top pick. You did not need to have the number 3 overall pick to take him. And that was Phil Emery's last draft. The Bears, in the middle of that second round of that year, drafted Ego Ferguson.
Talk about a Super Bowl trivia question for today. Who did the Bears take in the second round instead of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Now, the full context of everything matters because that was also the year they rewarded Jay Cutler. But Jimmy Garoppolo, on the heels of that Jay Cutler extension, you just came off a season, though, where half the city thought Josh McCown should have been playing. You know, we were well into the polarizing Jay Cutler era. And there were still doubts. A lot of people caught off guard by that extension. Felt like it wasn't necessary. And in the end, it actually hindered what Ryan Pace could do with all that money on the books those first couple years that he was here in Chicago. So Jimmy Garoppolo was there. Could have been a plan B. You drafted Ego Ferguson instead. Okay, but fine. You didn't want to draft him then. He goes to New England. The Patriots, by the way, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
They had Tom Brady.
With all due
respect to Jay Cutler.
They saw the talent in Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo barely ended up playing for the Patriots. He filled in during the suspension when Brady had the flake gate, but in the end, they had to deal with him. Trade him, because Tom Brady outlived, for lack of a better way of putting it, the career.
Still living. Life.
Yeah, he's still going. Now, he's a free agent this year. Maybe they still wish they had Jimmy G. But you had to make a decision. So that came now we're into 2017. And 2017 was the year that Jimmy Garoppolo was entering the final year of his rookie deal. And everybody knew that the Patriots were going to have to make a decision. And in that offseason, the Bears could have traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, We have no idea what the compensation would have been. He ends up getting traded not until October because I think the Patriots were asking for more that spring.
And the Patriots also put out like a report. I think Adam Schefter reported that they weren't going to trade him. They were trying their hardest to re-sign him to an extension, thinking he could be Tom Brady's heir apparent.
So what was the compensation? It ended up being a second-round
pick? Just one second-round pick.
So essentially what the—
Ryan Pace, if that was his offer, 100% would have— no-brainer, yes, absolutely. Deal, done.
Right, because then they could have drafted like Jamal Adams with their third pick.
Yes, would have done it.
You know, so that's probably not what the deal was. But, and I think if my brain is going back to like the combine discussions I was having with people, the Patriots were asking for a first-round pick, I think, earlier that year. But that's still the thing. Okay, hypothetically, the Bears give up the third overall pick for Jimmy G. They would not have had to trade all those other picks they had to throw in that deal to move up one spot.
I think it was more than that.
To number two. Okay, yeah, but maybe. Yeah.
And again, I do believe that the Patriots wanted to keep him, and that's why the asking price was so astronomically high.
And they were just hoping some team would basically make that decision. Like, instead of taking an unknown here, a rookie quarterback that you don't know how Mitchell Trubisky is going to play out, you know, how is Deshaun Watson going to— is he really going to be a superstar at the next level? This wild card with Patrick Mahomes. You didn't really know all that. And you could have had a— I don't know why I say proven, but much more seasoned.
But you also had to sign him as well.
That's a good point. So, and it costs more money than a rookie would.
Right. Making, what's his cap hit for this? Like $26.7 million this year? He's only been a starter for a full 16 games this season. This is his first year as a full-time starter. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks. I get the angst, and it is tough to you know, what is it? Hindsight's 20/20.
Is he 25-5 as a starter?
Yeah, he wins. He just wins.
He's a winning quarterback.
But there's a lot of layers to it. Would he look good in a Bears uniform? Yes, but then he's got to have the pressure of playing for his hometown team. Playing quarterback in Chicago, you talk to some of these former players, not only guys who play quarterback, it is different than every single city across the league. It's the weight of the expectations of a franchise who's never had really a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it. A lot.
Well, for me, the fact that there was two opportunities to get him, especially that first time, when all he had to do was a second-round pick.
And he took Eagle Ferguson.
Yeah, that one's tough. Well, the Bears don't have either of these guys. They're playing in the Super Bowl today. A couple other members of the 49ers. Quick primer on this team. They love to run the ball. And Raheem Mostert, another former Bear, by the way, but not quite the same thing, was barely on the team. But he's going to be the starting running back. You have Matt Breida. You have Tevin Coleman, who I was banging on the table, think the Bears should have signed this past offseason. Instead, they signed Mike Davis.
Another local kid, Oak Forest.
Yeah. This is a running tack. They'll run everything. They run outside zone, inside zone, power. They do everything, and they're really, really good at it. And the Chiefs' weakness on defense is stopping the run. So that's something to watch today. They also have George Kittle, the very, very talented tight end who Jimmy Garoppolo relies
on. Superstar, gregarious, fun-loving. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Fifth-round pick.
Same year that the Bears took Adam Shaheen, in the second round.
It all comes back to the Mitchell Trubisky draft, man. It all comes back to that. And then defensively up front, that draft, 49ers pick Solomon Thomas. But, you know, he's actually more sort of just a role guy on this team that has four first-round draft picks on that line. Eric Armstead, DeForest Buster, Buckner, and, of course, Nick Bosa, who was the defensive rookie
of the year. How about that luck of the draw? So Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL last year. The 49ers just completely tank on the season, get a top five pick, number two overall, get the best young pass rusher in the game, AP Rookie of the Year, Nick Bosa, superstar in the making, another big personality. Some teams are just lucky, man.
And on the back end, Jimmy Ward played his college of football at Northern Illinois. So a lot of tie-ins with the 49ers. If you're not completely familiar with San Francisco, hopefully that gives you an idea what to be watching when they take the field at a little after 5:30 for kickoff in Super Bowl 54. we'll do the same with the Chiefs. Next hour, we come back. We're going to have a conversation with Sam Ponder from ESPN, host of NFL Countdown. It was fun sitting down with her this week, and we'll have that coming up next here on 720 WGM. Getting closer to kickoff between the Chiefs and 49ers as the game finally gets closer and closer here. It's been a busy week in Miami on Radio Row, and that continues now with Sam Ponder, the host of NFL Countdown on ESPN, does a great job with that. Sam, thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like it's time to just play this dang game.
Yeah, you know, I've been sitting around
talking about this thing for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand why there's 2 weeks leading up to the game. It's completely necessary, but by the time the game gets here, it's like, all right, how much more can we talk about this? And I'm sure it's been the same for you guys.
Yeah, you get to the point where you're like breaking down long snappers and you realize like, all right, it's time.
Yeah. So what's Super Bowl week like for you and the NFL Countdown crew?
It's actually pretty chill compared to some of my colleagues. But, you know, you guys know how the week leading up to the Super Bowl goes. It's mostly just like a reunion of sorts and a ton of different events. And for me, it's always a quick reminder that I am not as young as I used to be because I cannot hang like I used to. Not that I ever really could, but it is an exhausting week for sure.
Yeah, I think we're similar age. I'm starting to have those same self-realizations of these times, especially down there at Radio Row, and I'm drinking way too much of the espresso just trying to get through it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm already shaking today, so I got a strong start.
Sam, during the season, that show it's such a big show. How much work and prep, I mean, I know it's multiple days, goes into getting that thing going on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, so a lot of the prep during the week is just having TV, radio, podcasts, reading articles, like just being around it so that I'm well aware of the conversations that are going on. And then I usually write the whole show. It's not technically scripted, but I write notes for the whole show on Friday. So I take all day Friday and work on that. And then we have a big production meeting Saturday night all together, usually in Bristol if we're not on the road. Where Randy and Rex and Matt and Teddy and we're all together and we kind of just like briefly go over all the conversations just to see what they're fired up about. And then we get in Sunday morning and do 3 hours of TV.
Is there one segment that stands out to you as the most fun that you guys do? I mean, watching on TV, I always like the You Got Moss segment.
Yes, that's everybody's favorite. And you know, my favorite thing about that is that Randy, and I, over the last 3 years, I've kind of seen the shift. Like when he first started doing it was like, oh, this is cool. Okay, yeah. Whatever. Now, like he's all in. He loves it. And seeing how happy he gets to do it is really fun. We just have such a fun group this year. Like we genuinely have as much fun during commercial breaks as we do doing anything else. And it's always the stuff you don't script and that you don't plan on that ends up being the best part of the show. But these guys are always a good time. I mean, whenever you combine guys like Rex Ryan and Randy Moss, you know it's at least going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. ESPN Sam Ponder joining us now as our Super Bowl continues here on 720 WGN. You know, on TV, Louis Riddick comes off as like the smartest guy who's ever talked football. Is he that way in person too?
Is he listening to this right now?
Yeah.
I mean, Louis is smiling ear to ear. I just saw Louis last night. No, Louis is very impressive. I mean, anybody who listens to him, you know why he's so impressive? I mean, he has a lot of great qualities, but he just puts in the work. He spends the time. You know, like that is half the battle in this industry, especially with former players. A lot of times when you get former players who were like really big name guys, sometimes they'll assume like all they have to do is just show up and kind of be themselves. And that works for a while, but it's not going to keep you around in this industry for the most part. There are a few exceptions. Louis is one of those guys. I mean, he's a grinder. Like this guy works so hard, is so well connected, is always talking to people, trying to find out what's really going on. And he's just fun. He's a fun guy to work with. Like he's what you see is what you get. He doesn't really have like a TV persona and a real life persona. He's a good dude.
Well, Sam is on Radio Row with Secret as they unveil an ad this week to hashtag kick inequality. And Carly Lloyd and Crystal Dunn involved in this ad. Tell us a little bit about the message here and why it's so important.
Yeah, this was really important to me, and I was really happy to be a part of this with Secret, because what they're doing is they're starting a conversation, continuing a conversation about opportunities for young girls in sports. And look, I am the product of this message. Like, I grew up in a home where my dad was a coach, and for the four kids in our house, like, we were all going to play sports. We were all exposed to sports. And not even, it's not just important because, oh, I like sports and I hope everybody else plays. It's not really about that. For me, the most important things that I learned being on teams starting when I was four all the way up through high school and a little bit in college was learning how to interact with people, learning how to handle conflict, learning how to win well and to be a gracious loser, you know, like things that kids need to learn early in life. Sports are such a great way to introduce some of these concepts and help them work through things before they need those skills in the business world or in their marriage or whatever it may be. So Secret's done a really good job. I think you guys will really like the ad. It's going to air right before kickoff, and there's a surprise element. So I don't want to give too much away for people haven't seen it. It's actually available to watch now. You can see it online, but it will air right before kickoff on Super Bowl Sunday. And like you said, Carly Lloyd's in it. I mean, it's really cool. And I think especially young people will really appreciate it.
Well, our listeners probably remember that Carly Lloyd was the one who kicked that 55-yard field goal in practice when the Eagles were practicing the Ravens earlier this year. That kind of went viral. So this is a pretty cool response to incorporate that. I'm going to wait till kickoff, Sam, because I know all these commercials come out early. I don't like spoiling it. To me, it's like part of the experience of watching the game. So I'm going to wait, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm with you on that. I like it kind of old school. Like, it's like having a baby. I didn't want to find out what I was having until I had it. It's kind of the same. Not really at all, but we'll go with it.
Okay. Well, sort of speaking of that, your husband once kicked my Wisconsin Badgers in a bowl game a long time ago. what is Christian Ponder up to these days?
So, Christian, you know, it's been interesting to watch some of these guys. I mean, we saw it recently with Luke Kuechly. We saw Andrew Luck. There have been a number of guys that have just decided that what's best for them and their health is to not play. And I think it's a really personal choice. Mm-hmm. But Christian just got to the point where it wasn't worth it to him anymore and stepped away. And honestly, I didn't know what he was going to do. I mean, he went and started doing some TV stuff at first and realized he didn't really love that. He went to seminary for a little bit. He basically tried like a million different careers, which was really fun to watch to try and see what he would get excited about. Where he landed is kind of in the VC world. He does a lot of angel investing. He now started a tech company. So he's really excited about that. And it's still connected to football. So he's kind of stayed in that world. But it's been fun watching him get excited and love something again.
Very cool. And I'm sure he's enjoying being hashtag girl dad, too. I know you guys have,
yes,
too. But
yeah, we got two little girls. And that has been really fun to see after my friend and colleague L. Duncan did that video about Kobe, to see everyone's response from that has been really cool.
Yeah, and I know that's, you know, unrelated to what you're doing here with Secret and this ad, but, you know, that's crossed my mind this week, that this push with Girl Dad and having to, go viral in the context of Kobe Bryant. I mean, that's got to help exactly what you're talking about here with inequality in sports.
Yeah, look, all these things are conversation starters, right? Like, there were years and years where it was like a funny joke when someone was having a baby and they found out that it was a girl. It was like, oh, sorry, dad. You know, like, it was like a disappointment to have a daughter, especially if you were a dad who, like my dad, was a coach or was really into sports. People always wanted you to have a boy. And I think what they're realizing now, and what's been really fun for me to watch with Christian, is just embracing that, like, I mean, look, for my dad, now he has a daughter doing a pregame show for the NFL. Like, people would probably wouldn't have thought that when he found out he was having a baby girl. Like, there are so many opportunities, and the possibilities are endless for young girls now. It's a really exciting time to be a dad of daughters and just to be a girl in our culture, because there's a shift that's happening. So I loved that Elle did that, and that we're just starting to talk about this stuff more. Like, there's nothing wrong with starting the conversation.
Well, we're big fans here in Chicago. You do a great job, Sam, and thanks so much for joining us here before the Super Bowl.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there she is, Sam Ponder, ESPN and NFL Countdown. Got a lot more coming up here for you as we get closer and closer to kickoff between the Chiefs and 49ers here on 720 WGN. It's fun talking to Sam Ponder from ESPN. She's impressive. She's still only 33 years old hosting NFL Countdown on ESPN.
She was very nice about her husband.
Yeah, Christian Ponder. Yeah, I'm hoping enough of our listeners remember that.
Yes.
Christian Ponder played for the Vikings.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah. Which was a stretch.
Yes. Yes.
Stretch.
Stretch.
very good. But yeah, she was very...
She's right about... You guys are both right about the commercials, though. Like, if you just go on social media,
yeah.
Like, during that break, I logged on, I saw one about Bill Murray. I'm like, no, no, no. Yeah.
So I actually watched that this morning.
Oh, dude.
I don't know why.
It was Bill Murray.
I'm glad I did, though, because Dean Richards, who was on before us here, had somebody from Woodstock. I never knew that Groundhog Day was filmed in Woodstock, Illinois.
Not, neither did I.
Wow. Not in Pennsylvania. And apparently that's what they went back there to record, to film this commercial 2 weeks ago.
Really?
So... Huh. Yeah.
The more you know.
So I was actually glad that I had seen it for that segment, at least.
I'm still not going to watch
that's
it.
The
Sorry,
only,
did not convince me.
That is the only Super Bowl commercial I've watched so far, though.
I don't like how they've started to release these commercials pre-Super Bowl, though. I get it. People are on social media, Instagram, all that stuff.
Well, I always love that. I always love the commercials. I'm, you know, can't wait to see what those look like today. I'm also very, very interested to see what kind of Kobe tributes there are. And I want to make sure we blocked out some time to have some conversations about Kobe Bryant here. It's Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. We're the host of the Hogue and Johns podcast, which you can get all year long on WGNRadio.com and The Athletic. That's where Adam Johns writes. He does a great job there. You can read his Bears coverage on The Athletic. If you're not already a subscriber, you can subscribe at TheAthletic.com/HogueandJohns. But look, this tragedy happened last Sunday, a week ago already, which is kind of hard to believe. I was, you know, kind of getting my things in order, trying to pack, get things done at home before I got on a flight to Miami. And you know, like for everybody, the news of this coming across the wire that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash was just incredibly heartbreaking. And then your mind's, at least my mind, you hear there's five people on that helicopter, and I didn't want to tweet it. I didn't want to even say it out loud. But, man, I was just hoping no one else in his family was on that helicopter, especially his daughters. And, unfortunately, Gianna was. And they were headed to one of her basketball games. And it wasn't just her. It's a couple teammates, parents, the pilot. All in all, nine people died in that helicopter crash. And it's just one of those deaths that goes way beyond sports into the mainstream media.
Yeah.
And when you have an event like the Super Bowl that does the exact same thing, this was a conversation. It kept coming back to Kobe this entire week.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily the biggest Kobe Bryant fan. Part of me watching him play didn't like how he looked like Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan was ours.
Yeah.
And he looked exactly like him as a player. The moves, the fadeaway, the style, it all resembled Michael Jordan. So when this tragedy happens, you think of, you personalize things like this, do you not? You know, like,
absolutely.
Like, he's a father. I'm a father. Oh, gosh, I hope his family's not on board and things like that. You mentioned this being transcendent. I think it puts your own mortality, you consider it a little bit, how you're not untouchable in this world, and I think you're humbled by it, but you think for his family. Like, I was watching it unfold on social media. I was in a Starbucks with my son working, and he's playing on the Kindle right next to me, and you start thinking of those moments. And here he is traveling to a basketball game with his daughter and her friends and their own parents. They're going to a basketball game. We drive our kids to basketball games all the time. Not just me, everybody. Yep. You go to sports every week with your children, and it was a parent moment that he passed away during. I think that gets to you.
And absolutely. And beyond that, you know, there's this kind of rush to judgment sometimes with very rich athletes. I was on a text exchange with some friends that on last Sunday were immediately like, why does this always happen to celebrities? Always in the private planes, their private helicopters, whatever. And then this video comes out a couple days later of Kobe explaining why he used a helicopter. Because L.A. traffic, he was still trying to, this was back when he was still playing, try to be at practices, then be there for his daughters.
He wanted to pick up his children from school.
Yeah. That's why he used a helicopter. So he
and we all know L.A. traffic is just miserable.
And then that hits you. Like, it's like everything with Kobe, it comes back to something where he was just trying to be the best dad that he could possibly be. And that was the number one thing as soon as he retired, that he wanted to be there for his kids and his four daughters. And that conversation we just had with Sam Ponder in the last segment, where she's with the Super Bowl trying to promote more equality in sports, and this idea that women can't do what men do, and you hear Kobe, there's another interview that goes viral with Jimmy Kimmel, where that same thing Sam Ponder just talked about, where, oh, you need to have a son to live up to your legacy. And he said, no, Gigi was like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah.
And she was probably well on her way to going to the WNBA. It's just everything keeps adding more and more to the sadness.
Yeah, I understand that things get layered with Kobe Bryant because of his sexual abuse case from years ago. I understand that. You want to be sensitive about things like that. But since his career ended, since he went into retirement, he just wants to be a dad. Yes, he's still the celebrity basketball player. Yes, he's made a fortune playing basketball. Yes, he started companies. But everything goes back, like you said, to being a dad of four girls. So you have like this hashtag girl dad thing going viral online right now. It's been actually very touching. A very appropriate tribute from regular folks. People that still relate to Kobe by being fathers of girls. It's all over social media. Check it out.
Well, that is the one uplifting thing, is that when things like this happen, it brings people together, and we've seen some positive things this week, and hopefully that continues. I have been surprised with how emotional I've personally been. I actually was a Kobe fan. I think Chicagoans had, like, they kind of split ways when it came to the Kobe thing.
Because the Michael thing.
Because, yeah, so for me, I understand why. What you said, like, Bulls fans were either for Kobe or against Kobe. For me, the Bulls fell apart so quickly. Phil Jackson went to L.A. You had Kobe, you had Shaq. I kind of became a Laker fan after the Bulls for that three-peat. Like, I remember watching so for me, I really like Kobe, but I think more of the emotion actually has more to do with being a father, like you said. And I lost it Friday night watching. I watched that whole Laker game start to finish. I watched all the pregame stuff, and it was hard to get through.
Yep.
It was really hard to get through. You see all kinds of tributes. The 16th hole at TPC Scottsdale, the PGA Tour's, the Phoenix Open going on right now. They set the pin position today on the 16th hole, the famed 16th hole. That's like a big stadium. The fans all go crazy. 24 feet in one direction and 8. On the other.
Steps, yes.
Yeah, steps, yeah. I'm sorry. On the to put the pin exactly there today for the Sunday hole location on the most famous hole of the golf course. Like, just even little stuff like that.
Yeah.
So getting back to the Super Bowl, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tributes to Kobe. I would hope that they would do a moment of silence, even though it's not an NBA event. And I think
they definitely will. Yeah. We mentioned Richard Sherman, the all-pro cornerback of the San Francisco 49ers earlier in the show, and he showed up to the stadium. Marlins Stadium. He showed up to Super Bowl, yeah, wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. I don't think he's going to be the only player doing that. I think you may see some tributes on players' cleats. That's a thing that they like to do to honor people who are close to them. You saw a lot of moving tributes from NFL players on social media after he passed. So he's the type of athlete, the type of personality that transcended sport, like a worldwide celebrity. And I think you're going to see some very touching moments in honor of him today in Miami.
A lot of the conversations on Radio Row this week went back to Kobe Bryant. You may remember Greg Jennings, a big-time receiver for the Packers, probably not Bears fans' most favorite player to think about. He was, of course, was on that Super Bowl team, the team that beat the Bears in the NFC Championship. But he's become a pretty good analyst for FS1. And I had a chance to talk to Greg Jennings on Radio Row about Kobe Bryant. I asked him how the tragedy hit him.
A couple different ways. As an athlete, it hit me that way, understanding what he meant to the sports world. But I think the most challenging part, what resonated with me the most, is as a father. Having a 13-year-old myself, daughter, and she literally, as I'm taking her Sunday to her volleyball tournament, which they ended up winning, we're on our way, and she's like, "Daddy, okay," so she knew I was leaving to come down here that day.
Yeah.
She's like, "What are your topics going to be? Are you going to talk about Patrick Mahomes, or are you talking about Jimmy G? Like, I need to know so I can give you some of my pointers." Some of, like, that's... Like, and so to see that and to come to know Kobe, I had the pleasure of meeting him one time and come to know him as a dad. Like, once we saw Kobe on the court and then we would see him by himself. But then after that chapter was over, if you will, we started seeing him in that dad phase. The only time we saw Kobe Bryant was when he was with his daughter. He had a child with him. Like, he was full-blown dad. He you could see how much that meant to him. You could see how much it meant to his daughter. And he was everything to her, but he was so much to everyone else. And so to be in that situation of wanting to always protect and provide and do for your child, and to not be able to do that, and they have the belief that daddy is everything to me, like, that, to him, for him, that had to be devastating. For me, it was kind of like this gut punch check, like, dude, am I really maximizing everything that I need to be doing in life? But more importantly, with my children, with my wife, with my family, like, with my friends, the people that I know, like, I just wanted to just say I love you. You know what I mean? Because here today, gone tomorrow, that's something we hear, but it's not a reality that we live day to day.
And I don't know if you had the same feeling that I did, but I didn't want to come down here.
No.
You know, I didn't want to leave my kid.
I literally was on the plane.
It made it harder.
And was like, had that happened before getting on the plane, it was like, it would have been really hard for me to get on the plane and leave. It really would have.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that just makes you want to hug your kids over and over and over again.
It was a parent moment.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can relate to that. I know he was a superstar celebrity on a helicopter, but you and I go out of our way to make our travel plans around our family. Flights, hotel stays, all around our family to make things, to be there.
Yeah, and it's tough when you're not. So I know people everywhere, whether sports fans or not, are feeling some of these same feelings this past week, and that's why I want to make sure we had a discussion about it in terms of the Super Bowl and what a remarkable scene in Los Angeles Friday night. Really all week, the amount of people outside the Staples Center, but we're not from Los Angeles. We don't live there. Only go there for work. And so I can't really totally relate with the feelings that city is going through, but it's very clear that what he meant to that area.
Well, the Bulls had a tribute here.
Yeah.
The Bulls at the United Center had the Lakers colors and his photograph on the side of their building, on their billboards. He transcended sport, man.
Absolutely. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back and start breaking this game down a little bit more. The Hall of Famer wide receiver Tim Brown will join us when we return. Hogan Johns on 720 WGN. All right, keeping things going here, getting closer and closer. We're under 2 hours to kickoff now. 5:30 kickoff, Super Bowl Sunday. It is Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you as we get you ready for Chiefs and 49ers. And
I'm getting hungry here, my friend.
You are?
Looking
well, you
forward
told
to
me,
some buffalo dip.
You told me you're fasting,
queso.
Getting yourself ready,
yes,
yourself
yes,
ready
yes,
for tonight.
Yes, I'm going to indulge, yes. I've only had eggs, a piece of toast, a granola bar, and a banana today, and a big coffee.
That sounds pretty healthy, though.
Yeah. You know, you get a... It's called fasting during the day. It's kind of a new age diet going on. You know, look it up, man.
It seems like a little bit more food to actually qualify for fasting.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to just drink water all day.
No, fair enough. It'd be tough to do a radio show
yes,
that way.
Yes, I'd be delirious.
We are Adam Hogan, Adam Johns. We host the Hogan Johns podcast on WGNRadio.com, and we're getting you ready for this game. One of the conversations I had this week on Radio Row when I was in Miami was with the Hall of Fame wide receiver, Tim Brown, who's always a good guy to talk to. Of course, won the Heisman Trophy at Notre Dame as well. And it's funny. He's a Raider, right? Well known for being a Raider, and this is a tough matchup if you're a Raider because you have the rival Kansas City Chiefs versus your crosstown rival, San Francisco 49ers. And Tim Brown had a funny tweet earlier this week saying this is a nightmare matchup if you're a Raider fan. That's where I started the conversation with Tim Brown.
You know, I mean, I think that's just being very honest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't want to see either one of these guys win, but you know it's going to happen. But I said I felt better afterwards, so I sort of exhaled all that. But, you know, look, very talented football teams. They both deserve to be here. There's no doubt about that. But I was just having a little fun. But it was amazing. Everybody was like, Tim, I was thinking the same thing. But if you're a Raider fan, you have to be thinking along those lines somewhat.
Well, Al Davis certainly loved his wide receivers. What would he think about these Kansas City Chiefs wideouts?
Oh my God, he would be trying his best to get those guys on the Raiders. Yeah. No doubt about it, because that's the kind of offense he always wanted to run. You know, threaten them with the deep pass and hit them with the underneath pass. You know, and these guys have the ability to do that with receivers, tight ends, running backs, everything. They're really really making it happen. So.
Fun to watch, and honestly, I fun watching the 49ers too. Just it seemed like a complete
sure. yeah.
team.
Yes.
They
yes.
might not have
yes.
the superstar
yes.
quarterback, but Jimmy G is pretty good himself. But especially on the defensive, really up front, the offensive defensive lines.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's what a game is going to be won in this particular Super Bowl is, can San Francisco front four manhandle Kansas City's offensive line? Because, and when I say manhandle, I mean they have to generate 3, 4, 5 sacks in this game, because if they don't, he's going to have time to throw the ball, and I just don't believe that 49ers secondary can hang in there, you know, 3, 4 seconds, you know, with these receivers that they have. So, and look, when you got Bosa and these guys, you know, playing to where they're playing, I'm not doubting that they can. I mean,
right.
I think there's a possibility they can definitely get it done.
A lot of people predicting a high-scoring game. If it plays out that way, are the 49ers in trouble?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the 49ers want to be in a 35-34 football game. You know, I think they want to keep the game in the low 20s some kind of way. And, I mean, if you can do that with this offense, you've really done something. When you look back over the year, I know because they did this to my Raiders a couple times, you know, they will score 3, 4 touchdowns within 4 or 5 minutes. You know, they score, get a turnover score, you know, go a 3-and-out, score again. And all of a sudden it's like, well, dang,
yeah.
The game's over. You know what I mean? I mean, you just put up 28 points on me, and, you know, you're stuck here. So I think from that standpoint, you know, that's the kind of stuff San Fran has to avoid. You know, I mean, a spurt like that will end this Super Bowl pretty quickly.
I do think the Chiefs need to be careful, though, of falling behind like they have in their last two games.
Yes.
Because this
yes.
is the type of team
yes.
that can play ball control.
Yes.
And before you know it, it's the fourth quarter. And I'm sure yeah. if they get in that situation with the 49ers have a lead, they're going to want to keep that ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Sure.
As much as possible.
No doubt, no doubt. I think the beautiful thing about San Fran's offense is, you know, you can run that ground control offense by throwing the ball, because you can throw a 3 or 4 yard pass. You can throw these little passes that are really designed to be runs, but you know, all you're trying to do is keep the clock moving and keep moving the ball down the field. So putting yourself in second and, you know, 5 or 6 or, you know, even shorter field position makes it tough on the defense, because now all options are open to you to run any route, any play you want to run. So So, yeah, man, you know, I think you're exactly right. If San Fran can get out to a lead and manage to get to, you know, I'd say with Tennessee, if Tennessee can get to the fourth quarter in this football game, they have a shot. Well, that didn't quite happen.
Right.
But I think with San Fran, they're good enough. If they can get to halftime with this game, you know, close, I think they have a legitimate shot to make this thing happen.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to ask you a question I'm sure you've been asked all day, but your reaction as a Raider with the team moving to Las Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I think, man, that, of course, you know, nobody wants to see the team move, right? Everybody wants to see the team stay in Oakland. But when it was very clear that the city of Oakland was not going to support that or didn't do enough to support that, and on top of that, you had the NFL to move San Diego into L.A. and not the Raiders, I think those are all signs for the Raiders that it's time to go out and do your own thing. I didn't know that the Vegas thing was even in the works, so I was a little shocked that it came out the way it did. But at the same time, you know, I understood because I've been there. I've been in that stadium and how, you know, run down it is. And, you know, it's a very tough situation to be a professional athlete and your place of business is a dump. You know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, you know, I think this is going to work out great and I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think the fan environment, everything Raider fans are known for, will translate?
Well, what I do know is they're telling me that most of the people that were sitting in the black hole in the end zones are there.
Okay.
Have bought tickets and are coming back. And indeed, 40% of the tickets sold already are from guys who have purchased tickets previously from the Raiders. So they feel good about that. And that number may never go up because you're going to have the casinos really controlling those other tickets. But at the same time, I think the Raider fans who really want to be there will certainly be there.
Well, we're talking to Tim Brown. He's, of course, the Hall of Famer and the Heisman Trophy winner, too, with Notre Dame. And here on behalf of Cadenwood and their Level Select CBD creams and roll-ons, what is it about this that attracts you?
You know, hey, look, you know, I'm known for being very clean, man. So when these folks approached me, I was like, hey,
yeah,
you know, I can't be dealing with, you know, any extras in the product, you know. And so, you know, they promised me and guaranteed me that that wasn't the case. Had a couple other people to take a look into this, and you know, they own their own farm, so they're able to make sure the products are as clean as possible. So with that, man, I tried the product and was really blown away about how great it felt, and you know, how good it was for that little soreness I had to be gone. And so they're doing right now what they call a BOGO 50, buy one get one 50% off, and they also have different levels of the product, level 1, 2, and 3. I'm a level 2. You may be a level 1, bro. Okay. You know what I mean? But somebody else may be a level 3, you know. So I think from that standpoint, you know, they got a roll-on, a cream, and they just came out with the oil drop. So, you know, good people trying to do things the right way, man. That's what it's all about.
I love that you – first of all, I want to give you a lot of credit for working a radio row as well as you do. That takes a lot of hustle. People need to – respect the hustle that gets involved in getting all these interviews in Radio Row. But for you to ask all these people about their products, I know you have to do it, but when you're asking Sam Ponder about secret deodorant, I love it. I love it.
Well, it'd be with her. It was more the inequality in sports, but it was secret who was promoting. Look, that is the toughest thing about Radio Row, because they literally sit down with you and then someone, PR person they're with, like, hands you a sheet, and like, that's the whole deal. You're getting all these guests. They're promoting a product. We get it. We could talk more about that going forward. But yeah, that's I could have used whatever he's talking about, though. My back pain all week. I hurt my back shoveling last week. Yes. I need some of it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come right back. Adam Hogue, Adam John, 720 WGN. Final hour of the program. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. A special live edition of Hogue and Johns on 720 WGN. Getting you ready for Super Bowl 54.
I find it great that we don't have the Patriots storylines.
That was refreshing all week long.
Was it not?
It absolutely was.
And they were around. Like, wasn't Tom Brady in town for a little bit? I know Rob Gronkowski had like a TV show. Bill Belichick was there.
I saw Gronk.
Yes. Julian Edelman, I think, was around. There are always going to be Patriots storylines. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan was asked about the Falcons blowing it a few years ago. But to have two teams that have more Chicago connections than Patriots connections, it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It was nice having two new teams to focus on this week. And if you're with us the last hour, we gave you a little bit of a primer on the San Francisco 49ers. We're now going to do that with the Kansas City Chiefs, which were a game away from making it, really an offsides call last year from making it to the Super Bowl a year ago instead of the Patriots, who went on to win their sixth championship with Bill Belichick. And it seemed like as good as the Ravens were this year and had the one seed, this year from start to finish really felt like the Chiefs were the team that were destined for this game because of where they left last season, the talent they still had, having the best quarterback in football right now in Patrick Mahomes. It's a surprise what the 49ers did to get here. It's not a surprise what the Kansas City Chiefs did to get here.
Well, their defense is significantly better last year. That was their Achilles heel throughout last year's. Patrick Mahomes was exceptional last year. You know, it was the MVP, 50 touchdown passes, was a superstar in every right. But their defense was awful. Absolutely awful. It's a lot better now. They're a more complete team. Their offense is loaded. They got Andy Reid. Andy Reid and his love of cheeseburgers makes this game. if I'm rooting for anybody, yes, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. You got Robbie Gould. You're drawn to them as Chicagoans. But the football fan in me wants to see Andy Reid, who I think is one of the best coaches of all time, finally get over that hill and get that Super Bowl win.
Wonder where Matt Nagy's watching the game tonight. Because he's going to be glued to the TV rooting for his guy, Andy Reid.
I almost wonder if he's on a beach drinking a margarita himself. Not with Mitch Trubisky like we laid out earlier in the show, but on his own vacation somewhere. He's going to watch the game. He cannot not watch this game. His mentor is in this game. But, yes.
Well, wasn't that the story with Doug Peterson? Doug Peterson's Super Bowl was right after Matt Nagy took the job. Didn't he say he was in a place in Lake Forest?
Chiefs, in Lake Forest,
his wife watching the game, like just the two of them, and no one really recognized Matt Nagy quite yet? Wasn't that the story?
Yes, I think some people recognized him. But yeah, I do think he's going to watch. He's absolutely watching this game.
Yeah.
There's no way he's turning away from Andy Reid.
So, look, you mentioned the defense here with the Chiefs. Personnel-wise, they actually might be worse, but the key thing they did this year was they got rid of Bob Sutton and they replaced him with Steve Spagnuolo. Steve Spagnuolo won two Super Bowls with the Giants. This guy knows what he's doing, and he's done a heck of a job with this defense this year. They're better against the pass. They
get after quarterbacks.
They do. They have a great pass rush, and those guys have been talking this week. Frank Clark has been talking.
Yes.
He does not mind giving that bulletin board material, and I almost wonder if he's done a little bit too much this week. He's one of their defensive ends. You have Chris Jones, their nose tackle, who's really, really good. Terrell Suggs is on this team, joined them midway through the year. But they're not great against the run, and what the 49ers do best is run the football. And I just think that's a huge – you heard it from Tim Brown at the end of the last hour. It's a huge part of this game. I just don't know that the Chiefs can physically stop what the 49ers have done so well, especially in their two playoff games.
It's great for matchups. Look at the 49ers defense is top 5, top 10 in all the important categories. I would argue I don't think they're a special defense. I think Richard Sherman was even questioning that as well. He's their all-pro cornerback. He was a member of that Legion of Boom team for the Seahawks. That was a special defense. Maybe the 49ers story isn't written yet. Maybe they need to win this Super Bowl. But I don't know if they're a special enough defense, as special as they are in a lot of statistical categories. I don't know if they're good enough to stop Patrick Mahomes when he gets on fire. He's going to catch fire at some point in this game.
I feel like the Chiefs, we've spent so much talking about them this year, just because they're what the Bears want to have offensively. I've said this a few times leading up to the game, so I apologize if you heard this before, but this game is so fascinating to me from a Chicago Bears perspective because it's the offense Matt Nagy wants to run versus the offense that maybe he'd have more success with running with the quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. Now, he's not going to do that. That's not what Matt Nagy does. It's be you. It's run your system. So this thing's always going to skew more towards the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and what he's running. But when you see the San Francisco 49ers team, the way that it helps Jimmy Garoppolo. They run the football. They run all kinds of different running schemes that right now the Bears just can't do. And a lot of it's personnel. These offensive lines are good. on both sides of the football. And it just, a lot of this, when we look at this Chiefs team, whether it's Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, I mean, everything that...
It's beyond the quarterback.
But it's the model for what the Bears wanted to do.
It's well beyond the quarterback.
And it's like every position, we broke it down late in the season when these two teams played in Week 16. Every position, they have what they want to... They're trying to get to what they want to have, and they just don't have it across the board.
The quarterback is supposed to be the raiser of all boats. He's the great equalizer. If he got holes somewhere, he's the one who fills it with his exceptional play. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback when compared to Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. But Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and you know what? Having Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy as your play callers, that helps a bit too. Having that offensive line like that, that helps a bit too. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is all sorts of special, but so is Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the game. So is Tyreek Hill, the most explosive player in this game.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is taking this league by storm. It really is his league at this point. If he wins tonight, there's no... I mean, he's already the biggest star to me, but you add a Super Bowl to that. My friend Nick Wright, who... is you see him in the mornings on FS1. He did a video this week where he made the case that if Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, he's already a Hall of Famer. And it sounds crazy, but it's kind of not crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
It is.
You need some type of longevity. Longevity is part of the argument for these guys, but in 2 years as starting quarterback was what? The 50 touchdown passes, Tom Brady's only done it once. Peyton Manning's only done it once. That was exceptional in his first year as a starter. And then he goes and wins the Super Bowl in the second. Yes, I know what he's saying, but the longevity has to be part of the conversation as well.
Well, that idea that he could already be a Hall of Famer is one of the many questions I asked his agent, Lee Steinberg. When we come back, you'll hear that conversation. Boy, he's got a guy there that he's certainly capitalizing off of right now. So that conversation with Lee Steinberg coming up next. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you on 720 WGN. We've been teasing this for a while. Lee Steinberg is the agent for Patrick Mahomes. Might know him better than anybody else right now. And he's also the character that Jerry Maguire was written after. Lee Steinberg, the super agent who represented guys like Jim Harbaugh, Troy Aikman. Big-time guy in the NFL. Now he's got Patrick Mahomes enjoying a career resurgence and started this interview on Radio Row this week just by discussing what a crazy 3 years it's been for Patrick Mahomes.
It has. You know, he worked so hard, and really the tip of the iceberg is what you see on the field, but he really is assiduous in putting together long, long days of work. So, and if you like him on the field, you love him off the field because he's wonderful in terms of role modeling. We're giving him an award on Saturday at our Super Bowl party, and for 15 in the Mahomies, which is a great charitable foundation he set up.
Where does that work ethic come from?
Well, I think he was raised really well by a father who was a baseball pitcher and a mother who instilled him with good fundamental values. So he was able to observe from the outside what professional sports is like and how not to get too high or too low and how to stay focused and be aware of the external excitement and hype and hoopla, but not let it change who he is.
Well, you know, just watching him from afar from Chicago, it seems to me like, at least what impresses me the most, is it never seems like he flinches. Every player talks about every game being the same, and you got to treat it that way. But that's always talk. And then on the field, it can change because the pressure builds. But with Pat, it really seems like he plays so consistently through every game and never flinches no matter how big the moment is.
So really the key with a franchise quarterback is, do you have a player you can build around for 10 to 12 years? Do you have a player you can win because of rather than with? And ultimately, in adversity, you know, you've thrown a couple interceptions, the crowd's booing, the center's looking at the quarterback like he's on hallucinogens, the game's getting out of hand. What does he do then? Can he compartmentalize, adopt adopt a quiet mind, focus on that moment, and elevate his level of play to take a team through to victory. And he has that.
I'd like to go back to his rookie year if I can. I talked to Mike Kafka, his quarterback's coach, the other night. He's a Chicago guy, played at Northwestern, coached at Northwestern before he joined Andy Reid, and has obviously been, you know, such a big part of the development of Patrick. And of course, Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, was down there too for Pat's rookie season. And just hearing Mike and Matt at one point during the season too talk about the work that went into developing Patrick that year while they were also trying to win games on Sunday with Alex Smith. What do you remember about what was happening behind the scenes that year?
So Alex Smith was a very generous mentor to Patrick. Some quarterbacks take the position, this is my competition, I'm going to stonewall them. He wasn't like that. He really helped him. And that year helped him because he got the opportunity to see pro football, to learn from Alex Smith, to sort of simulate the situation. And it's a good model. It's if you think of Phillip Rivers or Carson Palmer or Aaron Rodgers, they all did the same thing. So it really was helpful. Now, was he dying to start? Yes.
Yeah.
But could he accept the role? Yes.
Can you speak at all to any specific influence that Matt Nagy had?
Oh, Matt was wonderful with him. And look, you'll see quarterbacks drafted every single year in the first round, and about half of them make it and make an impact. And so some of it is their innate skill, but some of it is how they're brought along. So having Matt Nagy, who we gave an award to last year for philanthropic service at our Super Bowl party, Matt Nagy and he had a really terrific relationship one-on-one, and he helped a lot. In other words, you have a sort of a cerebral quarterback, and Matt was the same way with him. And Patrick credits him with a good part of his success.
So I know a lot of people are talking about your client. Most of it's positive. I heard one take this morning, actually, that surprised me but really made me think, and that was, is it possible that Patrick Mahomes is just one game away from already clinching a Hall of Fame nod?
That's so far away.
I understand, but it speaks to the success that he's already had, that that's even, you know, you hear it and you're going, come on, it's been just a couple of years.
This is the key. Taking a team to the Super Bowl is the key. And so they judge quarterback greatness. I represented Troy Aikman. He would go 18 for 25 in a game, 200 yards, but he's in the Hall of Fame because he won three of these. And so, and it couldn't happen to nicer people. I mean, the Kansas City fans are incredible. You go there on a Friday and the whole city's red. What it reminds me of is what happens in Chicago when the Bears win. And I still remember 1985 and how crazy that city was. Mm-hmm. And I had Jim Harbaugh there and Cordell Stewart. But I think we're really focused on this game, winning this game. What happens is the premier profile building forum in America is this Super Bowl. Because what happens is you escape the narrow genre of hardcore sports fans and reach out to all across America. And so if 130 million people are watching the game, that's not how many watch a regional or local telecast.
Yeah.
And people are paying attention that don't really follow pro football. So what happens is if a player performs dramatically in this game, they have a chance to go into the celebrity-making machine that follows, which is the morning shows, the late-night talk shows, the covers of magazines, so it can profoundly change someone's life.
I want to mention, because you're going to be in Chicago coming up later this year in September, the Chicago Sports Career Conference, and you're going to be in Indianapolis, too, I think, around the Combine,
yes,
too, which is close enough,
right.
if people want to look at it sooner.
So what I have endeavored to do, along with my partner Chris Cabot, is to educate the next generation of aspiring sports professionals. So the Sports Career Conference, which we did in September in Chicago this year, has an hour on sports media. And so you get to interact with sportscasters, sports broadcasters, writers. It has branding and marketing. It has the ability to do sports entrepreneurship. So it's real life experience. And then the Agent Academy, we actually have break them into groups, and they have to recruit Patrick Mahomes, or they have to recruit a player. They have to negotiate. So it's our effort to sort of bring along the next generation. And so if they go to SteinbergSports.com, they can sign up.
Well, it is really cool. I remember looking at this in the fall. I really wanted to be there, but in my travel schedule with work, I was out of town.
Yeah, we want to.
Hopefully the Bears' schedule cooperates a little bit better this year.
Exactly.
But it would be great to be there, and people can look that up and find more information on that. I want to ask you one more with the Chicago angle. Going back to the draft, Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky, it's been reported, and it's also my understanding. Obviously, the Bears had Trubisky number one. They took him.
Right.
But it's always been my understanding that Mahomes was number two for them on their quarterback board, and then it was Watson. What do you recall about the Bears' interest in Pat that year?
That they were interested in him. They scouted him very thoroughly. But individual teams fall in love with individual players,
yeah.
And that's what it takes to get drafted high. And I think you have to give Trubisky a much longer period, because what happens is the more times the quarterback sees the field, the better he gets. And there's this premature rush to judgment on them, which stultifies the development of the quarterback. So he figures to get better with every single year.
You've represented quarterbacks through different generations. Has the patience with quarterbacks gotten shorter than, you know, back like in the 80s when you were talking about Jim Harbaugh?
Absolutely. So what happens today is they throw a young quarterback in because of social media, fan reaction, and the rest of it. He's judged to be a bust very early, and it totally retards his development. And so we have no patience. So you got to give Trubisky a chance to mature over time. And the fact that Patrick's so successful, or Lamar Jackson, all the rest of it, that's abnormal, right? And so, but anyway, the only thing that hurt me is it's so much fun having a player in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because if you can just win that, you know, it's a third
king
largest,
forever then.
It's third largest. Well, the 85.
Yeah.
I went back to a roast for Richard Dent, and they still love that 85 team.
Oh, they did. The Bears had a huge 100-year celebration last June,
right.
And it was just crazy seeing all the Hall of Famers in one place. And
so at our party, we're doing sponsored by Wormhole Labs and FIU, but we're bringing kids from Make-A-Wish Foundation to the actual game itself, and me with my younger partner, Chris Cabot. And so it's a fundraiser, and it's we're trying to make a difference in people's lives.
It's a good cause there. That's Lee Steinberg, Patrick Mahomes' agent.
How did you not ask him to say, show me the money?
Yeah. That seems weird.
Did that keep you up at night? No, come on.
It's not his line. It's Tom Cruise's line.
I know, but I guarantee you he was asked about it, at least to say it.
Probably 20 times that day.
Yeah, Radio Real. Come on, my man.
Yeah. Leave that up to the...
Yeah, he could say it to the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's going to.
Yes, he should.
Yeah. All right. Well, there he is, Lee Steinberg. I always like to talk to him because of Patrick Mahomes, and certainly with his client in the Super Bowl.
He's not wrong in his point that Patrick Mahomes had a better situation to start with in Kansas City than Trubisky had here in Chicago.
But also the thing that's striking, and we all know this at this point, but you heard Lee talk about quarterbacks that when all that chaos is going on at the line of scrimmage, processing all that, staying calm, sticking to your mechanics, being able to make plays under pressure, all those things. It's just something that Mitchell Trubisky has not figured out yet.
No.
Not mastered yet.
May never.
And his ability to read zone coverages. Patrick Mahomes, so good at it. It's hard to...
But even if he gets it wrong, he has the ability to break down the play himself.
Yeah.
And make the play happen in his favor.
But again, even Lee has the awareness there. Like, he even threw in there, you can't really compare Trubisky to Mahomes right now because it's abnormal. It's abnormal how good Mahomes is and what he became. And it keeps coming back to that conversation that none of us really predicted that. So anyway, we got to take a time. When we come back, Pat Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times. He's our friend. You've heard him on our podcast before. He is inside Hard Rock Stadium right now. We'll get a pregame report with him. It's Hogan John, 720 WGN. All right. It's been 2 weeks of chatter, conversation, breaking this game down. We got 27 more minutes to do it. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you, 720 WGN from the Hogan Johns podcast. And it's time for us to go back out to Miami, Florida. He's inside the stadium, Hard Rock Stadium. Pat Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times joins us now. What's up, Pat?
What's going on? So you were counting down to the end of the show or to the start of the game? What is that minute count?
End of the show.
End of the show. Priorities,
Pat.
We then have 30 minutes to scramble to wherever we're going to watch the game and somehow make it there in time.
Beer in hand, dip in the other.
So watch out, outbound Kennedy.
It's going to be a race, Adam and Adam.
I was going to say, I know where both of you guys live, and especially Hogue. It's going to be an accomplishment if you can pull that up.
Yeah, we'll make it work. All right, Pat, you've been there all week. You were at the Pro Bowl, too. You're probably itching to get home, too. But what are the storylines right now as you're inside the stadium in a little bit less than an hour to kick off?
I mean, the real storyline is that DJ Khaled is DJing currently while everybody gets settled in their seats. And we know that because he screams his name every 30 seconds, as you know. The storyline here is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are, you know, the ginger of the NFL, and the 49ers are the Marianne, and kind of, you know, it's depending on the way you look at football, you're either a Chiefs guy or a 49ers guy. And it's the clash of styles, and styles make fights, and all that sort of good stuff.
So just in terms of getting vibes from the players, I know you talked to Robbie Gould, you talked to Dave Tobe, spent some time with Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, Patrick Mahomes has to be discussed. Who do you feel more confident about? Like, who came off as the more confident team? Because you can feel that. We know we can feel that. You spent a lot of time around these players.
To me, the Chiefs feel more confident. They seem to be a little more fun-loving this week, at least. I came down here thinking the Chiefs would win a close one. I think the pick I had in the paper is the Chiefs in overtime, but, you know, right now it's probably, if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably go Chiefs by six, Chiefs by seven, something like that. They've gotten an extra couple of confidence points from me this week.
Pat Finley is inside Hard Rock Stadium right now. He covers the Bears and football for the Chicago Sun-Times. Pat, what do we know right now about any tributes for Kobe Bryant in the Super Bowl?
Roger Goodell said one would happen. Peyton Manning did one at the NFL Honors last night. It'll be interesting to see if it's leaked yet. I haven't seen it. But it's interesting. I was at the Pro Bowl literally, you know, 15 minutes. I mean, the Pro Bowl kicked 15 minutes after word of his death came out, and there were, you know, players literally asking fans for information on the sidelines. And that was bizarre, and that is something I'm going to remember for a long time. The tribute to him will be nice here, but it won't carry the weight that, you know, watching the NFL's greatest players learn about the death of somebody who they idolized. And that was pretty momentous, I thought.
Who are you more excited to see, Jimmy Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes, Shakira, or J-Lo?
Are you trying to get me in trouble by not saying Jimmy Garoppolo? Probably. I mean, Mahomes. I mean, you know, we talked about this, you know, privately, and we all wrote about this when the Chiefs came to play the Bears. It's like Steph Curry. I mean, you know, you just want to be able to say that you saw the guy and that you saw him do something unbelievable.
You know, Mahomes had a couple of those flash moments when they played the Bears, but I certainly stand to see more of them today. And beyond that, probably I'd go Shakira 2, J-Lo 3, Garoppolo 4. I'm sorry, the city of Chicago, but it's really hard to compete with those three.
Wow, just dogging the hometown kid, Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, between J-Lo and Shakira, I go Shakira every time.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, I don't think it's particularly close. One thing that is funny is, watch me tie this all together here, boys. Patrick Mahomes is buddies with A-Rod. And, like, they met when he was would help him shag flies and would help him hit off the tee back when his dad played in the Yankees system. A-Rod texted him on Monday with advice for how to handle the week. And, of course, I had to follow up and ask whether J-Lo had any advice for him. And he said that he had never met J-Lo, which is criminal and probably needs to be fixed today at some point.
Yeah, it needs to be fixed. Quickly, Pat, do you see any way in which your number four guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, could come out of there victorious? I know you mentioned your Chiefs pick, but any way the 49ers could pull this one off, in your opinion?
Yeah. I mean, if they, you know, they're going to want to slow this thing down. You know, there's a world where they can certainly do that. And if so, you know, I'm not sure they can win. Let's put it this way. I don't think Jimmy will win if Jimmy throws more than 25 passes today. How about that? I think he's going to turn around and hand the ball off. And if they can keep it kind of a grimy, old-school game, I think they have a chance. You know, I look back to last year's Super Bowl, which is just horrible football for a long time. You know, I don't think we're going to get that, but, maybe the Chiefs come out a little flat after 2 weeks off. Maybe at the moment gets the best of them, and then the 49ers will put them in that, you know, turn around, hand the ball off, bleed the clock sort of vice grip that they do really, really well.
And, Pat, finally, your favorite moment of the week, and keep in mind there is a right answer to this question.
When you and I went on a romantic walk on the beach?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and that is...
Are you trying to steal my podcast partner from me, Pat?
In all seriousness, that might have been the moment of the week. You know, you're so busy down here, and you guys know this. You get so busy at the Super Bowl that sometimes you don't get to experience any of the city, or you kind of forget where you are. You're just in a convention center in a hotel room that could be anywhere in the world. And to even take that, whatever it was, an hour to go walk around Miami Beach and South Beach was probably my favorite moment of the week. And good job, Hoke.
Yeah, we had a similar moment 2 years ago in Minnesota. The difference was it was negative 5 degrees out.
I was going to say, the difference was 85 degree temperature change.
Yeah. All right, Pat, enjoy the game. Have fun out there, and great work all week.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, there's Pat Finley. You can read his coverage in the Chicago Sun-Times. We have another surprise guest.
Yes, how about
that we
this?
Need to get to quickly. I mean, the only way Hogan Johns can break down this game is to bring in our friend Bob Dabrowski. Bob?
Hey there, boys. How's it going?
How are you, Bob?
Doing good. Just getting ready for the Super Bowls here, and, kind of think the Bears should be in it, but, you know, you live and you learn.
What's your
How
pick?
You guys doing?
What's your pick, Bob?
Oh, I got to go with the Chiefs. The only NFC team that could beat the Chiefs would have been the Bears, and they're not there. So I think that Mahomes is going to do that 2017 quarterback draft class proud, and he's going to light it up today.
What does Bob Dabrowski eat at his Super Bowl party?
Buff Joe's wings. Best in the world.
Okay.
They are delicious. I thought you'd go with sausages upon sausages.
Oh, yeah. Polish. Well, we got bowls of sausages to just hand out, but, I mean, the entree is the Buff Joe's. You can't beat Buff Joe's. Bowls of sausages, you know, like different varieties of stuff, you know, just summer sausage, just a big bowl of, you know, sausage.
Summer sausage. Very underrated sausage, by the way.
Yeah.
Summer?
Yes.
Oh, it's a perfect one. You can eat it in any season.
I got to ask you, Bob, are you and Adam Johns okay? There's been like a recent feud between you two. It's making me really uncomfortable.
No, me and Johnsy, babe, we're doing just fine. I was disappointed that my rhyming was, cut off or something, because I know that, you know, Johns understands things better when it's in lyrical form.
It's true.
So I'm going to have to do that next year, I guess, to, you know, work my way back into the top of Johnsy Babe's heart. But there's no ill will between me and Johns unless he feels differently.
No, we put you on the air here, my friend.
I know. I feel good.
I'd share a summer sausage platter with you any day.
I like the air, John. Well, maybe I'll have to bring one to training camp if they allow us in this year. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm sure we'll find a way.
That's a good question. We still got to figure out all those details. I mean, you can't hold Bob Dabrowski out of training camp. That would just be...
That'd be rude. It'd just be rude.
A terrible move for any franchise to make, quite frankly.
That's true. I was listening. I know that the Bear Man is in the Fan Hall of Fame and that they're expanding that. But I think, I got to get a campaign going, maybe get my bust in Canton.
Aspirations. Career aspirations.
I like it.
That's right.
We'll help you any way that we can, Bob. That's Bob Dabrowski. You got an MVP pick in the game?
I'm going with the Chiefs, and if the Chiefs win, then it's going to be Mahomes. So yeah. I'm going to go with Mahomes. I didn't hear. What are your guys' picks? I didn't catch those earlier.
All right. Well, that's because we haven't given them yet. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap this show up with our Super Bowl picks and MVP picks. But we appreciate you jumping in here, Bob Dabrowski.
Thanks, Bob.
One quick one, boys. Just before I go, a little gambling tip. I like Mahomes over 24.5 completions. Fred Warner of the 49ers over 6.5 tackles. Let's go, boys. Gonna miss football, but I'll see you guys in July or something.
I love it. Can't wait. Can't wait. Bob Dabrowski there, one of our favorite podcast listeners. For those of you wondering who the heck that is.
Longtime listener, all the time caller.
Yeah, we have
our guy Bob.
We have a voicemail line, and Bob calls in every single week, usually pregame and postgame. Tends to have some ridiculous prediction that goes wrong and then cries after the Bears lose. That's usually how it goes
down. I think
down.
He was on board with your prediction about the Bears going 13-3
this year. No, he disagreed because he couldn't figure out how the Bears were going to lose three games.
He also had Adam Shaheen beg for the Pro Bowl.
35 touchdowns, Adam Shaheen. These are the types of gems you get from Bob Dabrowski. All right, well, we are going to make some probably a little bit more realistic predictions. When we come back, we'll finally get there. Our picks for Super Bowl 54 and our MVP picks as well. It's Hogan Johns on 720 WGN. Final segment. As we get closer and closer to kickoff, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. And do want to remind you, if you've enjoyed the show today, you can hear us all year long on the Hogan Johns podcast twice a week, three times a week during the football season. Can't believe the season's coming to an end, Johnsy. What a year it's been.
Yeah. Turbulent would be a great word to describe it.
Turbulent for our purposes because mostly we're covering the Bears, and high expectations did not come to fruition. We've covered all that. Now we're here at the Super Bowl, celebration of the year, and it's the Chiefs and 49ers. Time for us to make our predictions.
Well, I'm on the record already for Chiefs 29-27. I could see this being a close, low-scoring affair that Patrick Mahomes just takes over with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins even gets involved. Just the attack becomes too much, even for a very good 49ers defense. I do think Jimmy Garoppolo could answer. I don't think he can answer enough, though. I'm going to stick with my original pick. I'm going Chiefs 29-27.
That would be 56 on the total, putting you over on that. I'm on record as earlier in the show saying I like the under on that total, which has been kind of bouncing around 54, 53 points. I teased this in our podcast late in the week as well. I don't know if I'm basing this too much on what I've seen so far specifically in the playoffs, but we've seen these teams play two games each. The Chiefs fell behind by 24 points to the Texans, came all the way back by halftime. They fell behind 10 to the Titans. They came all the way back, won that game relatively easily when it was all said and done. So they certainly have the ability to come back. I think the problem is if they fall behind in this game to the 49ers, that's going to be a much harder thing to do. And I almost wonder, we heard Pat Finley last segment talk about how confident the Chiefs are. I wonder if they're a little too overconfident because of the way that they've been able to come back.
I will say some of their players do sound if they expect to win as opposed to going out there and earning that win.
Which is a good thing to an extent, but you don't want to be overconfident.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I keep going back with this 49ers team. You could say, oh, they haven't been there. Oh, they're a little bit of a surprise. But Kyle Shanahan has been there. Kyle Shanahan went through as bad of a Super Bowl loss as you can have 3 years ago 28-3. It's been burned into his memory. And the end of that game, he had to pack his things up, move to San Francisco, take over a head coaching job with plenty of criticism after the way he called that fourth quarter and the Falcons blew that lead. So he's learning from experience, and he has been the best play caller in football this year on either side of the football. He has been remarkable. And what the 49ers have done, by contrast to the Chiefs in these playoff games, is just totally dominate their opponents from start to finish. And I'd argue that their opponents were just as good, if not better, than what the Chiefs have played so far in the Vikings and Packers. And they've just been so good at controlling the football. And part of this may be going back to my own preferences in the way I love. I mean, I am a old school run the football type of guy, and the way the 49ers have run the football this year and the variety of ways that they've run the football has been so impressive to me. So I think that a lot of this game gets decided early. I think the first quarter is key, and if the 49ers can get out to a two-score lead, whether it's 10, 14 points, whatever it is, I just think it's going to be too hard, because I'm not saying the Chiefs fold up shop by any means. Mahomes is too good. They're going to score. But I think Garoppolo is capable of punching back. And we haven't had the most remarkable thing about what the 49ers have done so far this postseason, they haven't even had to really use their quarterback. They haven't really had to use George Kittle. These guys are really good players. George Kittle's a superstar. Garoppolo is better than he's getting credit for. So I think it's going to be a great game. I'm so excited about this. I had the 49ers winning 27-24, just barely coming in the under on the total. And I could see this thing being tied 24-24 and Robbie Gould kicking a field goal at the end.
Oh, that's a nice fitting conclusion. I'm with you. I enjoy watching good defensive football. I like watching Nick Bosa rush the pass. I like that entire defensive line the 49ers have. All first-round picks. I'm a big Richard Sherman fan. He's a great cornerback. Fred Warner, very underrated middle linebacker for the 49ers.
Take him with one of those Bears picks,
by the way. Off the Trubisky trade. I don't know if they're a special defense. Maybe with a win over Patrick Mahomes, they state their case. They are top 5, top 10 in a lot of statistical categories this year. So obviously the numbers are there. Part of me does believe the 49ers are going to win this game. But I know it's a quarterback league. I know how complete the 49ers are, though. But I just think by the end of it, Mahomes makes a few more plays. Look, a lot of people, I think the most convincing argument for the 49ers are a lot of pundits, analysts, whatever you want to call them, are comparing this to the Broncos, Peyton Manning Super Bowl versus the Seahawks team when they had Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Like, that Seahawks team was complete. The Broncos were very offensively driven, just like the Chiefs. They had the great pass rush, just like the Chiefs. A lot of statistical similarities. Great quarterbacks, great quarterback play. Different quarterbacks, but great quarterback play. And the Chiefs, I should say, sorry, the Seahawks ran over the Broncos that new year in New York. I was there. I covered that game.
Yep.
The Broncos had no answer for what the Seahawks were doing. Now, I don't know if the 49ers are like the Seahawks. I don't know. I don't think they are. They got to prove it. Now, we'll see. We could be all surprised here.
312-981-7200. Actually, have a couple minutes here if you'd like to jump in with your own Super Bowl predictions here. So, you're going Chiefs.
I'm sticking with my prediction with the
Mahomes
Chiefs.
Mahomes MVP then?
Actually, I'm not going to say Mahomes. It's going to be maybe like a Travis. I'm going to say Travis Kelce.
See, the problem for me, though, with that is if Travis Kelce has a huge game, that means Mahomes was throwing in the ball.
That's fine.
Like, if Kelce has three touchdowns, Mahomes threw him three touchdowns.
Yeah.
And how are they not going to give the biggest star the MVP? You know how it goes.
What if Travis Kelce has like 120 receiving yards and two scores?
Yeah. Look at it a couple years ago. James White should have been the MVP for the Patriots. He had three touchdowns, and they weren't all passing him or receiving him. He must have run one or two of those in there because he's a running back, and they still gave it to Brady.
Yeah. Well, naturally, you want to give it to the quarterback, and I think naturally they will, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's one of the receivers if the Chiefs win.
Yeah, and I'm going with Garoppolo. Just, again, logic. I gave that one out earlier, too, when we give some of our exotic bets. I think, honestly, even if you like the Chiefs to win, to me, the better value on the MVP pick is if you go Garoppolo, because the odds, you're getting more money off your return. because Mahomes is the overwhelming favorite to win MVP tonight, and it's basically a pick. I mean, it's a one-point spread. Chiefs favored by one, so they think it's going to be close, and I am of the belief that the most likely outcome is the winner of the team, their quarterback's going to win MVP, and Garoppolo's giving you better bang for your buck there.
You are 100% right in saying that Jimmy Garoppolo will punch back. I don't like the conversation that he's a game manager. Just look at his stats. Watch some of what he's done this year. Just watch some of the highlights. He's been exceptional. He's thrown some exceptional passes down the field. Things people dream of for Chicago quarterbacks, especially last year with Trubisky. He's had a great year in his first full season as a starter. He is not a game manager by any means. He will punch back once Patrick Mahomes gets going.
And he is a little unproven.
So was Russell Wilson that year.
Correct. But that was the thing I was going to say. But he can't. I don't think we can. We got to talk about the experience he gained being on the Patriots. He has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, yeah. He's been through these media circuits, this craziness of Super Bowl week.
He's been there. He was the backup, but he learned from Brady. He's been through all this. So he may not have played on this big of a stage, but he's been there. He's seen what it's like. Yeah. It's in fact, he has more experience than Mahomes does.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people are just so wowed by what Patrick Mahomes is. Maybe his inexperience shows against a very talented defense. Maybe he finally comes out. Maybe he finally has that stinker you're talking about. Not going to happen.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
But
that would be the biggest surprise of the day.
Is it Mahomes is a terrible game?
Yes.
Like, he hasn't had one in his career.
Yeah.
He's had some games over.
He's had some okay games. He's had some down moments.
But he hasn't had, like, Trubisky versus the Saints game.
No. Ooh, no. No.
Or even Trubisky versus the Rams 2 years ago.
Ooh, it might be even worse.
So, that's an incredible reality of Patrick Mahomes and why he's been. I agree with you. I think that would be the biggest surprise is if Mahomes just has a horrible game.
Yeah. It should be just, again, we mentioned the Patriots and not having them involved. This is refreshing in a sense. We have two young quarterbacks taking their teams to the ultimate football game. This is good. This is great to cover. I think everybody's going to be entertained by what they see tonight.
I can't wait to watch it. You know, usually my feeling is I don't mind coming home early from the Super Bowl because it's always fun to watch at home with my family. But this is such a good game. You kind of want to be there. You kind of want to be there in person to witness it. But it's been a pleasure being here with you today.
Oh, you're so nice.
But it's fun having the Super Bowl show today. I hope everybody enjoyed all the audio from Radio Row from Miami this week, as well as hearing from Jared Payton and Pat Finley down there in Miami today, live as well. Fun week. Can't beat Super Bowl week.
You worked your tail off, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Now I'm going to go enjoy the game.
Yes. Beer in hand.
With a lot of people.
Chip in a dip in the other.
Which I'm weary about. Had that discussion earlier about...
You'll watch the fourth quarter at home by yourself. I know you will.
Because that would involve having to get in the car and driving home and missing part of the game.
Oh, well, yeah.
Which I don't want to do.
Don't you got a kid to put to bed?
I do have a kid to put to bed. He'll be fine. He'll fall asleep in the car. He falls asleep easier in the car than he does at home.
Okay, then.
It's a better strategy for getting him to sleep. So I will be on the WGN Morning News in the morning. Obviously, in the morning, 6:40 a.m. to break down the game. If you want to catch that on TV. And The Athletic, where John's works, will have plenty of Super Bowl coverage. You guys got a ton of people down there, as you always, and whatever sporting event it is, The Athletic has you covered there. So you can check that out. And theathletic.com/HoganJohns is where you can subscribe to The Athletic for 40% off.
Yes, here's some more of us. We had fun.
Can't get a better deal than that. All right, well, thanks to everybody who joined us today. You heard from Robbie Gold, Jared Payton, Kyle Long, Howie Long, Sam Ponder, Tim Brown, Lee Steinberg, Greg Jennings. It was a fun, fun show.
And our good friend Patrick Finley.
And our good friend Patrick Finley, too. How could I leave him out of there? Just unbelievable mishap by me there. Adam Johns, it's been fun. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read me at WGNRadio.com, him at The Athletic. Check out our podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, you can get it on WGNRadio.com and The Athletic. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game, everybody.